Hey, it's me, that guy from that thing you're about to hear. Thanks for listening to the Todd Bromelkamp Show podcast. And we welcome you in at 4:03 on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on a, what should be a really interesting Thursday evening. We've got some severe weather that we're expecting to be dealing with tonight. We will, of course, keep you abreast of any developments while we're on the air until 7 o'clock. It's already wreaked havoc with the high school football broadcast schedule tonight, as you've heard Scott and Mark discussing for the last hour on the gym class. Linmar and Cedar Rapids Jefferson from Kingston Stadium moved up to a 5 o'clock kickoff tonight. We will join up with Scott Unash at Kingston Stadium on 107.5 FM at roughly 4:55 this evening. So if you normally listen to this program on 107.5 FM, and we know there are a lot of you that do, 1600 AM or the stream online, kgymradio.com, two ways in which you can continue to enjoy our content. Alex Halstead will join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. It covers the Iowa State Cyclones for 24/7 Sports. And Benjamin Albright is going to join us in the 5 o'clock hour this evening as we'll get ready for week two of the NFL. It kicks off tonight with the Carolina Panthers playing host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the under is the play there for those of you who are looking to get some action in. Carolina, a 6.5-point favorite in that game. The underdog has a pretty good record when Tampa Bay and Carolina get together. Take my word for it. A Woodja on tap today, as well as hearing from some of the Iowa football players who spoke to the media in Iowa City on Tuesday earlier this week. That is, of course, where we begin today. It's dominated headlines all week long. What else is there to talk about this week? Iowa and Iowa State. And Alex, starting to be a little bit of concern if you're an Iowa fan over the health of Iowa's secondary heading into this game facing Brock Purdy. Kirk Ferentz last night on his weekly radio program seemed to take one step closer to admitting that Matt Hankins is not going to be available this weekend. They're going to play it by ear. But this is something that Tom Cakert of HawkeyeReport.com asked Kirk about on Tuesday and got a rather evasive answer. Kayvon Merriweather is already, I believe, officially scratched for this weekend as well. They're starting to get a little thin. Remember, Geno Stone got dinged up in the Rutgers game, although he was present in the post-game interview room, and Kirk said on Tuesday that the strong safety will be ready to go for the Cyclones. Is this now an area of concern if you're a Hawkeye fan looking at Saturday's game? Because Brock Purdy, he can throw the ball around. He's a pretty good quarterback. The defensive backfield, very thin at the moment for the Hawkeyes. And this, of course, taking into account whether they would suffer another injury or two during the game. Guys get nicked up all the time and have to come out and have the backups go in. So Iowa's in a little bit of a precarious position now going to Ames facing Brock Purdy with a defensive backfield that is nowhere near 100%.
It certainly is a concern. And I think that if any Hawkeye fan or if you asked Kirk Ferentz and he would give you any level of truth about what area there's most concern or what area you can least afford to have injuries at on your team, where do you have the least amount of depth? It's the defensive backfield. And the defensive backfield has, excuse me, really been the only spot of worry so far through two games. A couple of drives by Miami. A lot of these guys are new and working in as far as being starters. And it certainly is an area of concern. And when you look at this matchup between these two teams, I think both teams have injury concerns at the one area of complete concern for their team. For Iowa State, it's their offensive line. Is Colin Newell going to play? What are they going to look like up front against Iowa's outstanding defensive line? And for Iowa State, for Iowa, it's the defensive backfield for sure.
Your thoughts are welcome. You can pick up the phone and give us a call, 319-366-1600. That also doubles as the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. Iowa and Iowa State renewing their rivalry once again this weekend. 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. We will have that game for you on 1600 AM. John Walters and the Cyclone Radio Network. Pre-game coverage begins at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM. On our FM frequencies this Saturday afternoon, you'll hear our Hawkeye-centric pregame show, Before the Boom. Kyle Mann, our producer, will be sitting in for you because you are going to be hanging out. This really is probably the funnest assignment anybody at KGYM has had in the calendar year 2019 so far. You are going to be in Riverside. And where could you possibly be in Riverside on Saturday for a big football game between Iowa and Iowa State? Where would be the place to watch the game if you weren't at Jack Trice Stadium? You got to help me out on this one.
I believe there's a new sports book inside Riverside Casino and Golf Resort called the Elite Sports Book, and they have a draft day lounge where I will be on Saturday from broadcasting from noon until 3. See, Todd, I didn't think that I would ever be able to have an event that was as fun as hanging out with Dan Hampton and Steve McMichael at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Well, hanging out with all of you, getting ready for the Cy-Hawk game will be just as fun. So I was proven wrong within 2 weeks.
319-366-1600, the Hertine & Stocker Jewelers text line. I imagine they're going to have quite the crowd there on Saturday for that game, because would you rather go win $200 gambling on the game, or would you rather spend $200 and have a ticket to the game? Can ticket prices continue to soar for this contest? Now, I know a lot of people out there are putting their tickets on the market and putting the basically make me sell my tickets number on there. I don't know if you're familiar with the website Zillow. It's
yes.
A real estate
real
app.
Estate, yeah.
You can put a make me move price on your house where you don't really want to move, but if someone's willing to pay you an exorbitant amount of money for your home, you agree to sell your house. I think that's what people are doing with asking $2,000 for some of these tickets and everything is, hey, I don't know. I'm planning on using my tickets. I'm planning on going to the game. But if you wanted to pay this exorbitant amount of money, I will gladly sell you my tickets and not go to the game. This is going to be a fun one. Now, Ed in Iowa City pointing out Iowa City has issues of its own going into Saturday. They don't know whether or not Colin Newell is going to be available. Here's the secret to this. They really like Trevor Downing, and they think if Colin Newell can't go, I thought Matt Campbell sounded pretty optimistic early in the week that if Colin Newell can't go, they'd be pretty comfortable with slide. Now, granted, that's a tough spot to break a young player in, but we've seen players get thrown to the wolves before. And dude, I always think of James Morris getting thrown into the Penn State game many years ago. You sink or swim. And when you get to this level, you know, most often or not, guys can swim. Throw them out there and play. You're the offensive line guy. How concerned would you be if Colin Newell can't go for Matt Campbell and the Cyclones on Saturday?
It doesn't help throwing in a young center like that in a situation where the offensive line and center in general are a tough thing to learn right away, and there will be mistakes made if there is a young offensive lineman playing in there. But I think that just in general, no matter who's out there, whether it's Colin Newell or Trevor Downing, Matt Campbell's looking at that matchup, looking at the offensive line, saying, we have to play better. Have to play better than we did last year, or we're not going to win this game. I thought they nearly single-handedly were shut down last year because they couldn't block. They couldn't block A.J. Epenesa. They couldn't block Anthony Nelson. They really couldn't block anybody. So if Iowa State is going to move the ball and score points, it's going to have to start up front. It's not going to be an easy task. I'm going to be interested to see if they game plan to try to take number 94 away. if they do sort of this, a similar thing that Miami of Ohio did to try to get the ball out of Brock Purdy's hands quickly and limit the hits that their sophomore quarterback takes.
Let's head to the phone lines. They are open for you at the moment, 319-366-1600. We do have one occupied, though, by a frequent caller and contributor to the program, Joel in Muscatine. Joel, I've heard you so often on the gym class and so seldom here, I thought maybe you would just enjoyed Scott and Mark more than talking to us.
No, it's kid pickup from school time.
Ah.
Car time. So that's the only reason for that. I told Dukes was actually on our broadcast up at Kingston Stadium on Friday, and that's what I let him know.
Have you seen the ratings from that yet?
No.
Okay.
No,
I imagine they're pretty good. So. Mark's a magnetic personality. He really draws the folks in.
No, and it was great. It was great. But regarding this whole the delusion of depth, if you will, in the defensive backfield for Iowa, you know, you were talking about the sink and swim and how Iowa State is high on this Downing kid on their offensive line. You know, I kind of feel the same way about how Phil Parker feels about Terry Roberts, the D-back who's going to probably play a little bit tomorrow or on Saturday if Hankins can't go. I feel like if I've got to rely on a sink or swim freshman with Iowa's history, I'll take my chances with a defensive back from Erie, Pennsylvania. I just feel like that usually turns out pretty well for the Hawkeyes. And I think that one of the best things for a defensive backfield that's inexperienced is a good pass rush. So if Iowa can generate some pass rush, and I don't necessarily mean sacks. I mean, if they can get into the throwing lanes with their hands as well, that'll help those young defensive backs out quite a bit. So I look at this game as actually being really interesting, and I think it's going to all come down to turnover margin. Whichever team wins the turnover margin is going to win the game. And there's no more lame coach's answer than that, but I think it's going to be a true story. Field position and turnovers, that's what wins a rivalry game. So I think that's where it goes.
Joel, appreciate the phone call as always.
I was happy that I understood the Bob Sanders Erie, Pennsylvania reference there.
Bob Sanders, a graduate of Cathedral Prep, the same high school that produced Terry Roberts. You also have Jovan Johnson, who was a Mercyhurst product. So Iowa has had a bit of success dipping into the state of Pennsylvania for defensive backs, as Joel points out. I don't admittedly know a ton about Terry Roberts, other than the fact that he does come from an area where Iowa has had a decent amount of success recruiting. They list him at 5'10", 176, and I do think you're going to see plenty of him on Saturday because you could just tell by Kirk Ferentz's body language Tuesday, when, especially since he openly addressed Geno Stone's status at the start of his news conference, and then Kakert comes in with the pesky question about Matt Hankins's health, and Ferentz, he soft-shoed it. He sidestepped it as best as he could, but last night addressing it on his radio program that, yeah, they're a little concerned about Matt Hankins at this point.
It's tough because the Julius Brents has been missing time as well with injuries.
Brents is sort of MIA at this point. Kayvon Merriweather is out. We mentioned Geno Stone nicked up in that 30-0 win over Rutgers. He should be available to go. And all of this facing a quarterback who, while he doesn't have Hakeem Butler to throw the ball to, Brock Purdy can move the ball through the air. And I would have to think if you're John Haycock, if you're Tom Manning, you are salivating at the possibility that you could take advantage of Iowa being relatively green around the gills in the backfield.
You would think so. I'm having a hard time knowing or at least trying to project what Iowa State's going to try to do offensively based off of what they did or didn't do against you and I. I know that there's not a whole lot of stock you can put into it, but their lack of downfield passing game at all, I wonder, was that a factor of not trying to show anything? Or is that because they can't do it? I'm leaning towards they weren't trying to show anything. But I'm not sold right now on the receivers that they have. the downfield threats that they have, and Brock Purdy's ability to consistently push the ball down the field. I think that they could develop into it in Big 12 play, but I don't know if they're there yet. And I think that Saturday is going to give us a really good idea whether or not they're going to be able to incorporate that in their offense without Hakeem Butler.
It's interesting. These are two teams that I think still have one or two things that they need to figure out, and they're going to figure it out in a rivalry game where pretty much everything goes out the window. 319-366-1600, you and I could not run the ball against Iowa State. Averaged only, I believe it was 1.1 yard per carry. Can Iowa move the ball on the ground against Iowa State, at least to a point where they can be successful in helping to set Nate Stanley up for a big day? Remember, this is Nate Stanley, who's thrown 6 touchdowns and 0 interceptions so far this season. Look, I feel a lot better about Iowa football 2 weeks into the season than I did in late July when we were in Chicago at Big Ten Football Media Day. I think this is an Iowa football team that, if it can avoid further injuries, and they need to get Alaric Jackson back as soon as possible to really make that offensive line go, but they've done a very nice job in his absence. They can stay healthy. This is a team that definitely looks like it can contend in the Big Ten West. And I know people are out there rolling their eyes going, well, they played Miami and they played Rutgers. Come on. You can't really say. Well, I can. I like what I've seen so far from Iowa, and I certainly like various aspects of what I saw from Iowa State against UNI. That UNI game is just, it's so difficult to judge, because Mark Farley always gets the Panthers to play up to the level of Iowa State and Iowa when they get together. So it's really hard to find the baseline there, because you know so many of those UNI guys have a chip on their shoulder in that going into that game. We've seen the back-to-back blocked field goals where Iowa needed them to survive in 2009. They play Iowa State tough virtually every time that they are on the schedule. So I don't know. I really don't know what to expect, and I had to put a pick in this morning for Saturday morning's edition of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, and I finally had to sit down and make my selection for this game, and I didn't feel comfortable with what I arrived at. And if you think that I'm going to save it, if you think I'm going to leak it today as opposed to saving it for tomorrow, you've got another thing coming. I'll officially go on the record coming up tomorrow. 319-366-1600. A reminder, one more time, if you are listening to us on 107.5 FM, the North Gym, due to the threat of severe weather tonight, they have moved up the start time of Thursday night's Cedar Rapids Jefferson Linmar contest. They'll be kicking off at Kingston Stadium around 5 o'clock tonight. So we will go to Scott Unash at Kingston around 4:55 tonight. That means if you enjoy listening to this program on our North Gym 107.5 FM, you can either try 1600 AM. We will continue on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM until 7 o'clock tonight, or you can pull up the stream at kgymradio.com. Of course, you can also go back at your leisure and listen to or download the podcast. We do have a poll question for you today at kgymradio.com. It has to do with the total that the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside has set on Saturday's Iowa-Iowa State game. Remember, you can't bet on prop bets with players, so you can't bet on Nate Stanley over under 250 passing yards, things of that nature. Totals and point spreads still on the board, though, for Iowa and Iowa State games. Our poll question today: over under 44 points on Saturday. And so far, about 80% of our listeners say under 44 points. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. You can find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. And not to get sidetracked here too much, but speaking of the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, they do have props up for tonight's Thursday night football game between Carolina and Tampa Bay. 5-1, Christian McCaffrey scoring the first touchdown of the game tonight. I'm not normally a prop guy. That seems pretty good to me. You want to throw a little money out there and get a 5-1 return? I can't officially endorse Christian McCaffrey scoring the first touchdown tonight, but boy, oh boy, that looks good to me. 319-366-1600. And again, you can join Alex from noon to 3 at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge in Riverside at the Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. They've been such a tremendous partner to us here over the last month or so since sports gambling officially hit the ground running on August 15th. We appreciate their support here on the program. The Cubs, by the way, I have not mentioned this, are in action facing the San Diego Padres, the series finale there. They're up 3-0 in the bottom of the fifth. That's after a loss last night. The Milwaukee Brewers, coming into today, had won 7 consecutive games, make it 8 because they beat the Marlins 3-2 today. The Cubs have company in the wild card standings. Now, if the season were to end today, they'd be on the outside looking in. They need a win to remain tied with Milwaukee for that last wild card. This is a Brewers team that appeared to be circling the drain a couple weeks ago, and just earlier this week lost MVP Christian Yelich to a fractured kneecap for the remainder of the season. Yet they're one of the hottest teams in baseball. Neither of them are catching the St. Louis Cardinals, though. Cardinals are on top of the Rockies 6-3, that game in the bottom of the sixth inning. So the Cardinals will continue their relatively comfortable lead atop the NL Central. A Minnesota Twins wrap up their series with the Washington Nationals tonight at Target Field. That's set for a 6:40 first pitch tonight. 4:25, continue keeping the texts coming on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. 3609, I don't know, based off you and I, if Iowa State's offensive line is as good as advertised, can they give Purdy the time to pass against Iowa's front four? That's, to me, one of the $64,000 questions. And I know Scott Dochterman at The Athletic wrote a piece earlier today about how this game was going to be decided up front in the trenches. This game more than any other football game. There's been a lot of hype about the Iowa State offensive line. It happens to contain two guys from our neck of the woods, and Bryce Meeker and Julian Good-Jones. This is a veteran group. They've got over 100 and some starts together. It's going to be put up or shut up time 100%. For them going up against AJ Epenesa and the rest of the Iowa. I feel like we do a disservice because when we talk about the defensive line, we're only mentioning AJ Epenesa. Chauncey Golston, Cedric Lattimore, and Brady Reef can certainly hold their own as well. But to me, there's your marquee matchup.
I know that there was, I don't know if I'd go as far as to call it hype around the Iowa State offensive line. There was just the talk about how veteran they are, how long they had been there, and how many starts that they had returning. But the problem was they have been the weakest link for this team for the last 3 years. They had not performed well, and they at times had been holding this offense back. Did not do a ton in that first game against UNI to tamp down any of the concerns that Iowa State fans have had with that unit. And now they had to face another defensive line that is a huge step up from what they faced a couple of weeks ago, and a defensive line that dominated them a year ago. So I look at this game, we can break down every other position. I agree 100% with Scott Dochterman. If Iowa State is not able to keep Brock Purdy upright and he takes too many hits, they're going to have a really, really tough time winning this game.
Let's squeeze in a final phone call. Kyle's going to bring you a big board update as well before we chat with Alex Halstead from Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network. It's Keith in Cedar Rapids. He usually has some pretty good insight. Keith wants to talk Cy-Hawk matchups. Go ahead, Keith. The floor is yours.
So, Todd, what's hard about this matchup is Iowa State has only had one game. Iowa has looked good these last two games, and you kind of get a better feel for what the Hawkeyes can do. But with Iowa State coming out of the gate kind of stumbling before they really start to take off, it's really hard to see what they can do. So the big thing is, what did they do with their bye week? Was it productive? Did you patch the holes in the dam, so to speak? And then two, like, this is a big game and the lights are bright. How are you going to respond with game day being on campus? Fox going to be there. You know, I don't know if Klatt's going to make the call or not, but, like, all the hype surrounding the game and everything really kind of puts the pressure on Iowa State. So, Todd, here's my question for you. Who needs to win more? Is it Iowa or Iowa State?
Well, that's a good question, Keith. I'm not even going to hesitate to answer. Iowa State needs to win more. Matt Campbell has yet to beat Iowa. The Cyclones need the win more than Iowa.
I think for the year, it's Iowa, though, with the schedule. And that's the only reason I say Iowa, because they have a brutal road Big Ten schedule. And Iowa State, once they get into Big Ten play, they usually figure things out. And this game right here yes, it's big for Matt Campbell, but it hasn't been the be-all, end-all for him.
And I agree with you that Iowa's schedule is difficult this year, and they need to poach as many road wins as they possibly can. But from the standpoint of launching this program, taking the next step, and finally checking that last box, Matt Campbell needs this win more than Kirk Ferentz and the Hawkeyes. 319-366-1600. Perhaps we've stumbled upon a would you content for today. Kyle is with us in the studio. He's going to be a very busy man here starting in about 30 minutes. No pun intended on his last name, as Scott Unash will bring you the Cedar Rapids Jefferson Linmar contest from Kingston Stadium. Again, if you're just joining us, kickoff on that game moved up to 5 o'clock tonight. Kyle's got a big board at the ready. They're brought to you three times a day by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can find them on 420th Street, not too far away from the Sinclair gas station. You can also check out the Answers by Alexander showroom on South Gilbert Street.
Kirk Ferentz confirmed last night what the media picked up on during his presser earlier this week, being that cornerback Matt Hankins is going to be a game-time decision at best this weekend, so the Hawkeyes are set to be very thin in the secondary. Starting safety Kevon Merriweather and backup corners Julius Brents and Riley Moss are all definite no-goes. Forbes published its list of the most valuable college football programs in the country today, and Iowa checks in at 21st in the nation with an average revenue of $88 million over the past 3 years, with an average profit of $44 million. That makes the Hawkeyes a top five cash cow in the Big Ten, behind Michigan 3rd overall, Ohio State 5th, Penn State 13th, and Nebraska 20th. Tremell Murphy was a 2018 JUCO All-American before he transferred to Drake and averaged 10 points and 6 rebounds last season, but his future is somewhat unclear today after reports that he's been formally charged with 2 misdemeanors in an accidental shooting from late August. Des Moines police say an investigation found he accidentally shot a 19-year-old man in the head through a wall from another room at a house party with a firearm he'd legally possessed, but throughout the investigation insisted the man had simply fallen. Murphy's been removed from basketball activities, and there's no word if the victim's been released from the hospital. We've got Linmar and Jefferson in a Thursday high school matchup, but because of weather and the forecast tonight, that game's going to start at 5, and you'll be able to hear it on 107.5 FM the North Gym. And then tonight after the show, we'll have the Panthers hosting the Bucks in some Week 2 NFL action, and that'll be on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
He's just exercising his Second Amendment rights. I don't see what the deal is. 319-366-1600, the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. We will step aside ever so briefly. When we return, Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports will join us. By the way, we've got for you tonight before 6 o'clock a chance to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We're going to be back at Mulligan's next Thursday night, a week from tonight, for a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. Right now, happy hour going until 6 o'clock, and Thursday nights at Mulligan's, 6 until close, half-price wings. So if you're looking for a place to watch the Panthers and the Buccaneers, Mulligan's could be the choice for you tonight, half-price wings after 6 o'clock. We're talking Cyclone football with Alex Halstead when we return after this.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years, presents another edition of the Cubs Report with Todd Brommelkamp.
It's September 12th, and the Cubs have officially reached the fork in the road in terms of the team's postseason hopes. Entering play on Thursday, the team had company in the wild card standings. The Brewers had won seven straight after Wednesday night's win over the Marlins, moving into a tie with Chicago for the last NL wild card. While the Brewers are red hot, despite the loss of MVP Christian Yelich, the Cubs most certainly are not. They had dropped two of their first three games in San Diego against the Padres, including another no-show last night, which left players with few answers when confronted by the media. And just like last season, the schedule seems to be working against the team. The Cubs are in the midst of playing 18 consecutive games without a day off, their longest stretch of the season. Barring a weather-related cancellation, September 23rd will be the next day the Cubs can catch their breath. Hopes of an NL Central title seem out of reach. Now it's about hanging on to a wild card.
One player can't beat an entire field. That's not how the game is played. To win, you need the support, backup, and protection of a team. So when you're ready to make your way in the world, join the team at Smart 263. Their apprenticeship program gives you outstanding training, real support, and a smart game plan for a great-paying career. And you earn while you learn. Get details on their apprenticeship program at smart263.org. Sheet Metal Workers 263, helping you win at the game of life.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
KGYM and Smart FM are the perfect fall combination for football. All the info you need to get ready for the big game, and all the Smart Rock you need to get ready for your pregame festivities. Tailgates go better with Smart Rock from Smart FM. If you're heading to the Hawkeye game or getting together with your buddies before kickoff, Smart Rock pairs perfectly with brats, burgers, and barbecue. Next big game, prepare your pregame feast with a side of Smart Rock from Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Get ready, Liberty High. The Whirlpool Careers tailgate tour is coming tomorrow to get you pumped up for the game. Whirlpool Careers, Iowa National Guard, and area businesses will be there too.
The Packers and Vikings, they go head-to-head in a critical early season showdown at Lambeau Field.
Sunday at 11 o'clock here on the Gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
4:35, we welcome you back in a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Just a reminder, coming up tomorrow, we'll talk odds and ends with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. He'll give us his thoughts on Iowa as a 2.5 at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, point favorite over Iowa State. The Cy-Hawk game, just one of 4 or 5 we'll touch on with Lee tomorrow at 4:30. Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com with us as well inside tomorrow's big hour at 6 o'clock. Tune in as the rain begins pouring down here in Cedar Rapids. Buckle up. We are in for a night of severe weather across the area. Again, we'll let you know if anything pops up that you need to know about while we're on the air this evening until 7 o'clock. Right now, let's continue the focus on Iowa and Iowa State. Alex Halstead, who covers the Cyclones for 24/7 Sports, is with us. And Alex, are you at the point right now where you're just ready for Saturday at 3 o'clock? Everything that's been written about this game has been written. You can't really say anything more about it, can you?
No, I don't think you can. And especially, I think, here in the central part of the state where Iowa State's had a bye week, and if you even added to it where it just – there's been nothing really to talk about. I think we've written really everything we can about why Brock Purdy wasn't running and, you know, why they didn't throw the ball deep. I think we've asked so many questions that it's time to just play this game and find out a little bit more about this Iowa State team, especially.
Yeah, like what can you take from that UNI game? They're not a lot of quarterback runs, as you mentioned, not a lot of pushing the ball down the field. You have to expect a little bit more and a little bit wider array of play calling for Matt Campbell and Tom Manning against Iowa, right?
Yeah, I think so. And that was kind of one of the questions, I think, especially from the fan base, is how much of this is, you know, things just not going right, and how much was them, you know, trying not to show their cards a little bit, because it did seem a little bit odd. You know, Brock Purdy said that he just felt that it was in a situation where, you know, he could sit in the pocket and kind of take what came his way. But he did say he was on campus this last week, and, you know, people came up to him and asked him if he was doing okay because he didn't run the ball. So, you know, it's a question that everybody wants to know. I think the added bye week is added to that. But, you know, Tom Manning also said yesterday he said he felt like at times he didn't put Brock Purdy in the best situations to make you know, easy decisions. And so I think that's an important thing to remember, too, is this is Tom Manning's first game back, his first game with Brock Purdy and with his dual threat ability. And I think, you know, he probably has a bit of a better idea now of what his quarterback can do in a game setting.
What's the level of concern on Colin Newell's availability?
You know, they're calling him questionable. I would probably say he's not going to play if I had a guess. In fact, I would probably even, you know, maybe this is going a little bit far, but I wouldn't be shocked if he doesn't play till Big 12 play. You know, if he don't play this week, and I'm not saying Louisiana Monroe is some pushover because they just took Florida State to overtime, but I think you got to be cautious with him, and I think that's kind of where they're leaning right now. And, you know, they know this is a long season. They have Big 12 aspirations. They want him back. I think they could really use him this week, especially, you know, with some of those defensive line matchups. But I just think it's a tougher injury. I think it's a lot more comparable to what Alaric Jackson is dealing with than, you know, some minor, you know, little tweak that's going to, you know, put him right back in the lineup this week. So, you know, with him most likely out, you know, like I said, they're calling him questionable. But if he is out Saturday, they've got to figure out what to do. I think there's been talk, you know, externally about could Julian Good-Jones go from left tackle to center. I don't know if I see that because I think, you know, you want to kind of keep him cemented at left tackle. And so the two options most likely are going to be Colin Olsen shifting from left guard to center, or you could put Trevor Downing, your redshirt freshman, there as well. So they've got some options, but I kind of lean towards it's probably going to be someone other than Colin Newell as of now.
Is that the matchup of the game? Not necessarily the center position, but the entire offensive line and how they handle Iowa's front four and really front seven?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, the talk obviously has been about A.J. Epenesa, but I think it really is that whole defensive front. You know, Matt Campbell did call Epenesa a generational talent, and it's obviously somebody that Miami, Ohio, and Rutgers and every team's going to focus on this year in terms of, you know, how do you double team him? How do you, you know, use your tight ends or an extra blocker to kind of help that? Iowa State's considering all those things. I think they'll probably double team him at times. I think they'll probably use their tight ends to chip block and release on routes. They're going to go different ways with that. But, you know, like Campbell said, if you do that, you also leave Golston on the other end, you know, with a one-on-one matchup. And they think really anybody on that Iowa defensive line could win a one-on-one matchup. So Epenesa is the focus, but I think you're right that, you know, if you put so much focus on him, that's still probably a good thing for Iowa because, you know, at least somebody else a little bit more open.
Alex Halstead with us from Cyclone Alert on the 24/7 Sports Network. Iowa and Iowa State taking the field at 3 o'clock on Saturday at Jack Trice Stadium in Ames. You can hear the game right here on 1600 AM. There's some concern here in the eastern part of the state about the health of Iowa's defensive backs. Do you see an opportunity for Brock Purdy to open up in the passing game here against Iowa?
Yeah, I think that kind of goes back to the whole point of will Iowa State open up the passing game. And I think I talked to you know, some people, and I think you guys should know better, but it seems like three of the top six or something are either out or dealing with injuries. And so you got a situation there where last week we only saw three passes of 15-plus yards from Iowa State. One of those was a screen pass. So we really only saw two downfield completions out of Brock Purdy's 30 completions last week. It's just not something they did. I think the two names to watch this week probably in that regard are Tariq Milton and Joe Skates. You know, you look at Milton, second leading receiver last year. He's expected to be their vertical threat this year at that X spot. Last week was targeted four times, had two receptions. I think he's a guy that, you know, if you're going to take shots, and especially against maybe a banged-up Iowa secondary, you know, he would be one of the guys. The other guy is Joe Skates, and, you know, he's probably their most talented receiver on the roster. He's young. And so that's obviously a lot of potential there, more so than it is than anything proven. But he was on the field last time they you know, went out against Northern Iowa, didn't get targeted. And so I think those are two names to maybe watch if they're going to try to go vertical in this game. You know, that would be the guys to watch. And I think that has to be part of the game plan. I think, you know, if you're talking about that secondary, if they are down some of those guys, I think Hankins is maybe questionable. But that's probably an area that, you know, it seems like Iowa State can attack, but it kind of goes back to that defensive line matchup. Do they give Brock Purdy enough time to sit in the pocket and make some of those throws?
We saw three running backs last week for Iowa State with double-digit carries. Could we see four this week with Kane Nwangwo healthy again?
Yeah, he's going to play. It's really an interesting question. You know, everybody wants to know. Campbell said this week, you know, he felt it was tied in terms of who played the best. He's not really tipping his hand. But I do think they're in a little bit of a interesting situation now because they went into that UNI game, and I think it was pretty clear that Johnny Lang and Breece Hall were numbers one and two. And for most of that first half, that's the guys that they gave the carries to. And then all of a sudden you bring in Kane Nwangwo, I think he gets four carries for 30 yards. Then you bring in Sheldon Cronin. He's the guy that carried them through overtime, minus the fumble. So you're kind of back in a situation where who do you play? And I think it could take this game. It could take Louisiana Monroe. I think it might be until, you know, early Big 12 play before they really know who their top one or two running backs are. But I think Johnny Lang and Breece Hall are probably still the two. But it wouldn't shock me if you're going to see Sheldon Cronin and Kane Nwangwo both heavily involved again against Iowa. I think part of it's going to be which guy, you know, kind of takes it and runs with it early in the game.
Alex, we had a question about 20 minutes ago about who needs this win more, Iowa or Iowa State. I didn't hesitate to say Matt Campbell. He needs to get the Iowa monkey off his back, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, I think if you're going to say who needs it more, I think it's probably Iowa State for a couple of reasons. I think one is that fact. You know, Campbell's 0-3 against Iowa. They've had opportunities. You know, last year it was a 10-point game. Probably felt a little bit more like Iowa State was a little bit farther away than that. But the year before, you know, they probably should have found a way to win that game last time in Ames. You know, if Akeem Butler makes that catch across the middle and in the red zone and those sorts of things in overtime. But I think he's got to finally get them. But I think also, you know, for Iowa State, you know, they haven't started 3-0 since 2012, you know, in terms of non-conference play. And when you look at Paul Rhodes, when he was able to go to bowl games, both times he went to a bowl game, he started 3-0. You know, Campbell's went 7-5 and 8-4 the last 2 years without the benefit of a perfect non-conference schedule. And so I think if Iowa State wants to continue to have those high expectations of that 9-3 type season, you've probably got to go 3-0 to do that. And so I think that makes it that much more important, and the fact that it is in Ames this year. So I would definitely agree with you, and I think it starts with the point you made, and that's that, you know, I think it'd be big for Campbell to finally get this win.
You mentioned the game 2 years ago in Ames. It was a shootout, lots of offense. Last year, it was a defensive slugfest. What kind of game, if you had to guess, are you expecting this time around?
Yeah, I'm kind of expecting a low to mid-20s type game. But it just seems like every time I make a prediction on what type of game I think is going to unfold, it's the opposite. I want to say in 2017, I thought it was going to be one of those lower scoring games, and it turns into a shootout. And I think you could probably expect that both Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell probably go into this game with game plans of, you know, a lower possession game. I know Iowa State's in the Big 12, and there's a lot of high scoring games. But, you know, under Campbell, when he's played against other, like, defensive type teams like a TCU, they've gotten into low scoring or low possession games, you know, 8 possessions. Last week, when you look at that UNI game, that's a 10-possession game, really, until they get to overtime. So, you know, you compare that to, you know, Oklahoma State's having 14, 15-possession games. So Iowa State may be a Big 12 offense and, you know, be in that spread-out, high-scoring league. But I think Campbell's history still kind of shows that he likes some of those lower-possession games. I think that's probably the mindset. But at the same time, you know, I think a few plays – you know, happen or unfold early in that game, and both teams have to open up their playbook a little bit. So I kind of think it's going to be one of those lower scoring, but maybe around the 20s type game. But nothing really ever surprises me in this matchup.
This series is always good for giving us one or two heroes that maybe you've never heard much about, and they go down in history as having played a big role for Iowa or Iowa State. Anybody in mind you think that could etch their name in history on Saturday?
Yeah, I think if you're talking to Iowa State, you know, you're probably talking about some kind of skill position breaking through, whether that's Breece Hall getting his first taste and you know, having a big game, or someone like Joe Skates, you know, coming up big with a big catch. You know, because I think the thing with Iowa State and those skill positions is a lot of those guys are still young. You know, they haven't necessarily played in these moments or played in this game, at least, whether you're talking about, you know, Joe Skates, or I think Creek Milton's breakout really came after the Iowa game last year. Same with Charlie Kohler. He didn't play until, you know, TCU. So some of these guys that are going to play in this game or going to be big playmakers for Iowa State this year have not really played in this game or have their moments in this game. And so I think if you're going to have a big hero in this game for Iowa State, it's probably going to be someone like Charlie Kohler or Tariq Milton or Breece Hall, guys who have not, you know, been involved in the game. But you're right, you know, there's been times where, you know, Jake Knott's interception was big. And so, you know, there could be some kind of big defensive play, but you know, those three guys on the offensive side really come to mind because, you know, if Iowa State's going to have offensive success, it's probably got to be one of those guys stepping up.
I want to go to the defensive side of the ball and talk about a Cedar Rapids, Washington product. That's Orion Vance. He's moved back into the starting lineup. It's been a little bit of an interesting time for him at Iowa State. He redshirted, then he was sort of on the cusp of playing. He got some snaps last year, and then there's a lot of depth there at that linebacker position, so snaps are hard to come by. But he has sort of forced his way back into that starting spot with his productivity, has he not?
Yeah, you used the right word there, and that's forced. You know, he forced this move. You know, he forced the staff to figure out a way to get him out there with Mike Rose. You know, this is a kid that got to Iowa State. I think he was one of the higher rated recruits in that 2017 recruiting class. Like you said, redshirted, but I think it made some strides right away. And then he did lose the job to Mike Rose, you know, that middle linebacker job. Rose starts all 13 games last year. Vance was a key piece, you know, in terms of coming in and, you know, being a reserve. I think he was one of their top three graded defenders by Pro Football Focus last year. But that was in a more limited, smaller snap backup role at the middle linebacker spot. And we talked to Mike Rose this week, talked to John Haycock this week, and kind of try to delve into, you know, how did this come about? And, you know, Rose said that, you know, as fall camp went along, you know, they asked Rose to play, you know, at the Sam outside linebacker spot a few times in 7-on-7. Vance just kept coming along, and all of a sudden they said, hey, we think we're going to move you to Sam, and, you know, Vance is going to be the middle linebacker. And so this whole thing, this whole situation is really a product of Vance was too good not to play. You know, Campbell talks a lot about he wants to find their best 11 defenders or guys to put out there. They thought Vance was one of their best defenders, and so really what that did is, you know, his natural position is the middle. Vance can play all three, or Mike Rose can play all three, and so now you got the Cedar Rapids native Vance in the middle, and Mike Rose is going to be an outside linebacker this year.
All right, Alex, who's your selection for guest picker on game day? It seems to be the one subject that anybody cares about in the state right now.
Yeah, that's a tough one. I think a lot of people want Seneca Wallace. That's been a name. I think that's a name that Iowa State's kind of pushed hard for, supposedly. But yeah, at the end of the day, it sounds like Iowa State has no say. You know, this is ESPN's thing. I kind of feel like it's not going to be anyone tied to Iowa State. I think it was Mike Colas had a good suggestion, Nick Nolte. I think his dad played football at Iowa State or something like that, kind of a small connection and that sort of thing. It seems like ESPN and these types of situations where they don't have necessarily a tie that they want to bring in seems to try to promote something, whether it's WWE or country singer or something. So it'll be interesting. Normally, I think last week I got an email from ESPN PR that said, all right, Matthew McConaughey is the guy, and have not got an email from them yet, so this one might go up to the wire.
All right, we will finally be able to put all of this madness behind us at 3 o'clock on Saturday when this game kicks off. Alex, we appreciate the insight, and I'll see you Saturday.
Yeah, see you guys.
Alex Halstead of 24/7 Sports joining us. Iowa still about a 2.5-point favorite over the Cyclones at the moment at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside. The total on the game, 44 points. That's our poll question today. Over, under, 44 points. Which way you leaning? You can let us know at kgymradio.com. That poll question, again, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. My money is still on Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins promoting the WWE?
Promoting the WWE.
I'll go with Nick Nurse.
Native of Davenport, Iowa.
That was your other...
My other choice was Nick Nurse. They could completely go out of left field here. They could bring in somebody neutral that has no ties to Iowa or Iowa State, and then just tell them, make everybody happy. Pick Iowa State. I don't know. Your guess is as good as mine. As we've mentioned the last 2 weeks, it's Bo Jackson and Matthew McConaughey. You can't come up with anybody from the state of Iowa that rivals the star power of those two individuals. And Seneca Wallace is a fine, fine college football player. But that would be the equivalent of saying, make Brad Banks the guest picker if game day were at Iowa. Does that do anything for anybody? No. So I like the sentiment. I don't think it's going to be Seneca Wallace. 4:52. We'll take a quick timeout. We mentioned the threat of severe weather in the area. Looks like much of it is to the very north of the listening area. But if there's anything that pops up while we're on the air, we will let you know. And another reminder that in just a couple minutes, if you're listening to us on 107.5 FM, our North Gym here in Cedar Rapids, we're going to be parting ways so that we can send you to Scott Unesh at Kingston Stadium. A game featuring Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Linmar about to get underway at 5 o'clock. They moved the start time up due to concerns over the weather tonight. So 107.5 FM listeners, you can catch us on 1600 AM or online at kgymradio.com. Back with more after this.
Construction is a pain in the butt. Let's just admit it. TCB Pool Hall isn't into that look on the bright side BS. They know you're sick of it too. So every day until pet mall construction is over, pool's just $2 an hour. $2. 1 hour of pool, done and done. TCB's 26 rotating taps and 30 plus bottles and cans of suds will ease the pain too. Hang out, play $2 an hour pool, complain about the construction, and drink cold beer at TCB Pool Hall in the heart of the pet mall, downtown Iowa City.
Join me, the Gym's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live Saturday before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Starting route now. Turn right at Fortress Mountain. Turn left at Mount Hood. Head south to Moab, Utah. Continue on the Great North American Test Drive.
Run with us on a John Deere Gator XUV 835. With our quietest cab ever and optional heat and AC, and a four-wheel independent suspension, it's built to run where no one else can. Nothing runs like a Deere. Search John Deere Gator for more.
My name is Brandon. I am a manager of tire sales at Firestone Complete Auto Care. When you come here to get service, we're going to take care of your car. Because you take care of your car is going to take care of you.
Come in for the Firestone Complete Auto Care Epic Sales Event and save $100 when you spend $500 or more. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Valid September 12th through September 15th. The exclusions apply. Cannot be combined with other offers. Additional fees may apply where lawful. See store for details.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Hey, have you heard that ransomware attacks have increased by 500% this year?
Yeah, cybercriminals are targeting all types of businesses, encrypting their data and holding it hostage unless they pay up.
What if we're their next victim?
Don't worry. We have Barracuda to detect, prevent, and recover from ransomware and other advanced threats.
So we're secured?
Absolutely. We'll pay no ransom and keep this business up and running.
That's a relief.
Protect your business at Barracuda.com. Barracuda. Your journey secured.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with Progressive Box.
I wrote this next song for a gal from Cheyenne. Should never have told her how Progressive's collision insurance covers injured dogs and cats. She said if they could love her pooch as much as she did, then so could I. Well, I couldn't. This next song's called Cat Person. It was a rough, rough night in Wyoming. The cat was out of the bag.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Pet coverage not available in New Hampshire and North Carolina.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Simple ingredients for a pigskin feast. Equal parts offense and defense, plus a dash of special teams in the clutch. And top it off with a heaping helping of screaming fans. Get your pigskin fill right here on the Cyclone Sports Network.
Saturday, the Cyclones host the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock here on the Gym. 1600 AM, KGYM.
And we welcome you back in the Todd Brummel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio 1600 AM KGYM. Also heard at the moment on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. 107.5 FM currently bringing you football, high school football, from Kingston Stadium here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, as Cedar Rapids Jefferson has made the walk to Kingston. They will host Linmar tonight. That start time has been moved up to 5 o'clock due to the threat of severe weather here in the area later on this evening. So Scott Unash bringing you all of the fun and excitement of another season of high school football, brought to you by Hills Bank. You can catch it on 107.5 FM right now as we speak. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we're going to shift our focus ever so briefly to the National Football League. Benjamin Albright will be with us to lead things off. Week number 2 of the NFL getting underway with Carolina hosting Tampa Bay tonight. Marcus on the Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line lets us know that there is an accident on northbound Interstate 380 on the S-curves near Quaker Oats. It says it's a multiple car accident and traffic is almost at a standstill. That was a tweet, a text, I should say, moments ago. So if you're on 380 northbound, be aware that there could be a backup and some congestion on the S-curve due to a multiple vehicle accident. 319-366-1600. Plenty more Cyhawk discussion to come. We'll hear from a couple of the Iowa players as they spoke to the media earlier this week in Iowa City, looking forward to that first trip west out of Kinnick Stadium. Jack Trice Stadium, the site of this week's game. We'll have the pregame for you on 1600 AM at 1 o'clock on the Cyclone Radio Network. On our FM frequencies, we'll have our in-house pregame show, Before the Boom, focusing on the Hawkeyes. So basically 1 o'clock, we've got you covered, whether you're a Cyclone fan or whether you're a Hawkeye fan. 1 hour down, 2 to go. Stick around. Somebody's going to win a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub when we return.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold is expected to miss multiple games with mono. Jets coach Adam Gase.
They're doing all these tests on him and things like that and kind of figuring out the best protocol. I know his biggest concern is weight loss.
Trevor Siemian will be the starter for Monday night's game against the Browns. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports an MRI shows no major damage on Jets running back Le'Veon Bell's sore shoulder. Week 2 kicks off tonight in the NFL in Charlotte with the Panthers hosting the Buccaneers. Both teams are 0-1. Baseball finals today, first of 2 in Detroit. The Yankees beat the Tigers 10-4. Two-run home run for Edwin Encarnacion, but then he left the game with a strained left oblique. The Mets sweep the Diamondbacks 11-1. Two home runs for Juan Lagares, including a grand slam. The Brewers sweep the Marlins 3-2 in Miami. Team USA loses to Serbia today at the World Cup. That guarantees the U.S. its worst finish at a major international tournament. They'll either be 7th or 8th.
Coming up on Friday, our fall football tour is on. We're on the road from Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor in Washington, D.C., ahead of the Cowboys Redskins. Golican Wingo Friday, live from Washington, D.C., 6 Eastern, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
This SportsCenter update is brought to you by CarePro Home Medical. Connect with CarePro for the medical products you need and the professional support you deserve. CarePROHealthServices.com.
Honey, you're snoring again.
Oh, sorry.
Is your snoring bothering her? It's possible you have sleep apnea. Talk to your doctor about it. If you do have sleep apnea, find just the right CPAP or BiPAP machine at CarePro Home Medical. They'll get you the correct equipment, make sure you have the right mask with a proper fit, and explain how the equipment works. Help your health. Make her happy with a CPAP from CarePro Home Medical. CarePROHealthServices.com.
The great thing about facts, they're proven. Like the fact that crude oil contains impurities. Or that base oil made from natural gas is 99.5% free of impurities. And the fact that Pennzoil is the first synthetic motor oil made from natural gas, not crude oil. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Based on Sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Find it at Firestone Complete Auto Care.
Get a floor that's 100% waterproof for life without sacrificing the style you want. The Home Depot has Pergo Outlast Plus laminate starting at just $279 a square foot. With 22 designer colors, Pergo Outlast Plus can fit any style in any room beautifully. And you can rest easy because it's waterproof. Get Pergo Outlast Plus starting at just $279 a square foot at the number one Pergo waterproof laminate flooring retailer, The Home Depot. More saving, more doing. U.S. only, see warranty for details.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets go head-to-head at Citi Field.
Coverage begins Sunday at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
5:03, welcome back in. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM, Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. Also heard at the moment on 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Ben Albright going to kick off week two of the National Football League with us shortly here on KGYM. The Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you from the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. This time next week, we will be on the road at Mulligan's Pub. That's at 1060 Old Marion Road. We invite you to stop on in and join us next week for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and lindertire.com. We have for you a $30 gift card to Mulligan's, and we will give that away coming up in the next 40 minutes. So don't go anywhere. You could win tonight's Mulligan's gift card just for sticking around with us here in the 5 o'clock hour. Did receive a text during that last break that says traffic has also snarled up on the S-curve southbound on 380. Probably some rubbernecking going on with that accident. So beware on your evening commute that the S-curve, both north and southbound near Quaker Oats, is going to be slow going for a while. Sounds like there was an accident in the northbound lane. 319-366-1600. That is the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. We will certainly get back to taking your thoughts on Iowa and Iowa State coming up over the course of the next 2 hours. Minnesota Twins are in action tonight, looking to solidify their lead in the AL Central. They wrap up a series at 6:40 at Target Field against the Washington Nationals. Everything's coming up Cubs right now at Petco Park. The series finale there looks like the Cubs may get out of town with a split of the four-game series. They are up 4-0 on the Padres. Yu Darvish turning in an excellent start. They're not going to gain any ground on the Cardinals, who are 6-3 leaders at the moment over the Rockies at Coors Field. And they're not going to gain any ground on the Brewers. Milwaukee finishing off a sweep of the Marlins earlier today in Miami, 3-2. As promised, though, we're going to switch gears to the National Football League. Benjamin Albright joining us on the program. He has been with us a number of times in the past. Always enjoy our conversations with him. Ben, Todd, and Alex here. And let's go ahead and start with the team everybody seems to be talking about today. The Jets cannot buy a break, can they?
Well, they seem a little snake bitten. I can't remember the last time an NFL quarterback had to sit out a game due to mono, but it's a first for me. Then you've got injury to Quincy Anua, who's probably done for the season. Le'Veon Bell could be out for this game. Yeah, the Jets are hemorrhaging bodies and in a world of hurt.
Did you have a little bit higher expectations than most coming into this season? What were your expectations for the New York Jets?
I thought they could maybe be a 500 team. Right. I don't know that Adam Gase showed a whole heck of a lot down there in Miami. He showed the ability to beat the Patriots on occasion, but very little else. And I don't think that that's really changed much there in New York. Now they've got certainly more talent in New York than he had in Miami, but we'll wait to see how that shakes out. And obviously now you're down to Trevor Siemian and some of the backups there. So that's going to be a tough sell. I don't know. I think that anytime you're in division with New England, you're gunning for second.
Well, let's go ahead and get to the Patriots. Antonio Brown looked like this was going to be a typical Patriots acquisition. They get him on the league minimum, and lo and behold, Antonio Brown has some legal issues right now. What's your gut feeling on how all this plays out for New England?
Well, New England has shown its fair share of not caring about character type issues with players before. This is no different. I think they took a league minimum flyer on a very talented player, and if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But right now, I can tell you the NFL is working two investigations on this. One, an informal inquiry into whether or not there was tampering with the Patriots, and then a formal inquiry into the charges that are at hand. The charges are also being investigated on the criminal side now as well as the civil suit that is filed down there in Florida. So, God for me, he winds up on the commissioner's exempt list until this gets cleared up.
So, basically, the NFL will have to act on this, more than likely act on this before the Patriots, whatever, act on it.
Probably. I mean, the Patriots have shown time and time again they're not going to act on it until the league makes them. When it was Albert Haynesworth who had a sexual assault charge hanging over his head, they brought in Matt Patricia, a coach who had previously been accused of rape. They have absolutely no qualms about bringing guys like that in.
Benjamin Albright with us discussing the NFL so far, what we've seen in week one and week two, which kicks off tonight featuring the Carolina Panthers hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Big matchup this weekend in the NFC North between the Vikings and the Packers. If I recall correctly, you had Minnesota as your favorite to win the NFC North this year, correct?
Yeah, that is correct. I do think they're a very good football team. Dalvin Cook being healthy really makes that thing go. You don't have to put as much pressure on Kirk Cousins. I think that's really where you need to be. They've already got a great defense. If you can keep that attack balanced, which they started to do toward the end of last season after they fired John DeFilippo, which was the right move. They started to get a bit more balanced on offense, and that was really kind of the key. So I think Minnesota has a really good shot. I think they have an outside shot at the Super Bowl.
For the Green Bay Packers, what did you make of their defensive performance in week one?
Well, I've been telling anybody that would listen that the Packers' identity is kind of shifting. They've been known as an offensive team throughout the Mike McCarthy era, and Mike Pettine has really crafted a great defense there. I think their identity is shifting. They're going to be more of a defensive football team. The offense kind of has to figure out a way to get itself on track and get with this new offense that they're running. Aaron Rodgers has been through a couple of collarbone injuries over the last couple of years. It's kind of diminished a little bit of his capacity as well. So, we'll see if the offense can get back to where it was. But I really liked the defensive performance they put together against Chicago.
Speaking of the Bears, is there a reason for concern with Mitchell Trubisky after watching week one?
Well, yeah, I think so. I mean, Trubisky's always been a guy that was going to take longer to develop. You go back and look at the college numbers. I think Mahomes and Watson, each had something like 1,000 passing attempts in college, and Trubisky had about a quarter of that. He just hadn't had the reps that those guys had had. So he was always going to take a little longer to develop. But, we've gotten into the league and we've seen him play. He doesn't play well to his left. That left third of the field he doesn't do well in. Slow to read at times or slow to come off the first read. Just generally not what you're looking for in terms of a franchise caliber quarterback. Now, he's got some tools. He's got the legs to be able to take off by time, but he just has yet to put it all together. And, we're getting up to that point where we're starting to wonder if he ever is going to.
Does Matt Nagy deserve criticism for only running the ball 13 times in that game against Green Bay? Or are we going to see defenses continue to crowd the line of scrimmage and challenge Mitch Trubisky?
Well, I think both. I think one, if you're Matt Nagy, you've got to take some of the pressure off Trubisky by establishing the run. You've got to find ways, whether that's Terry Cohen on a jet sweep, whether that's Montgomery coming downhill. You've got to figure something out to take some of the pressure. Any game plan that features Mitch Trubisky throwing 45 times is doomed to fail before it begins. But overall, I think that's exactly what you're going to get. You get teams that until Trubisky proves that he can beat you when you crowd the box, they're going to crowd the box and try to take that away. So, I think there's a give and a take there.
Would you buy low on David Montgomery right now if you could? There are a lot of people that looked at the week one performance and how Matt Nagy used him or failed to use him and have kind of written him off. I still think he should have a big rookie season for the Bears.
Well, I think he certainly could. I think he's probably the most complete running back on that roster. I don't know why they kept going to Mike Davis. That just didn't make a lot of sense. Tariq Cohen has perhaps a little bit more athleticism. He's more of a gadget guy, though. And I think if you really want to establish a downhill game, Montgomery's got the best vision and balance, and I think that'd be the running back I'd put the ball in, you know, in his hands.
Let's talk about running backs and a running back that's still holding out. Gut feeling on Melvin Gordon, will we see him at some point in the near future?
I think you could. I think right now you've got kind of a waiting game going between both parties. Melvin Gordon is looking at all the injuries befalling the Chargers and saying, if I just bide my time, I'm going to come out ahead. And the Chargers are saying, look at the performances Austin Eckler's putting in. We don't need you. So I think he'll be back, you know, before the midway point of the season. The question is whether or not it'll be in a Chargers uniform.
Speaking of running backs and holdouts, Ezekiel Elliott wound up coming to terms with the Cowboys. Do you think they made a wise investment there in their franchise's star running back?
Well, it's, you know, it's so tough. The devaluation of running backs over league wide is, you know, it's kind of interesting. Paying top dollar to running backs generally, is a recipe for financial disaster in terms of, you know, overextending yourself in the cap. But, you know, Cowboys have a lot of cash and they're able to mitigate a lot of that with signing big time signing bonus money. They still got two contracts they got to get done. I'm told that Dak Prescott deal is going to get done pretty quick. So they still got to get that Dak Cooper deal done. Zeke is the engine that makes that thing run. But at the same time, I just don't know that I would spend that much money on a running back, especially if you can get, you know, 85% of the production out of any other running back for 25% of the cost.
Let's get to a team who was really disappointing in week one, but came into the season with a whole lot of expectations. How concerned are you with what you saw from the Cleveland Browns against the Tennessee Titans?
Well, you know, I was always a little bit concerned about the lack of veteran leadership on that team. You got a bunch of young guys, a first-time head coach, and it just didn't really seem like they've got a veteran leader over there. I was always concerned about, you know, what happens when things go wrong there. Who's going to be the veteran that steps up and helps right the ship? And so far, that seems to be kind of the case. The other thing is they were up against one of the most underrated defenses, I think, in football in the Tennessee Titans. They're a top five defense. That defense is very, very good. And anytime you're up against a great defense, you can't shoot yourself in the foot with penalties. And the Browns did something like 18 penalties for 180 yards. That's nearly two football fields worth of penalty yardage they gifted to the Titans. You can't do that and expect to come away with the win.
Benjamin Albright with us for just a few more minutes on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio. What was the big surprise for you in week one, a good or bad, something that you saw?
Well, I think how bad the Miami Dolphins look. I think we all expected them to be a lower-tier team, but we didn't expect them to look like they were an FCS school out there trying to play NFL football. Lamar Jackson at times had 8-9 seconds to throw the football back there. RG3 came on to relief at the end of the third quarter and went 6-6 for 60 yards and a couple of touchdowns. I think it was ridiculous. I was playing for the Miami Dolphins. I'd be utterly embarrassed by that. That was just a painfully bad surprise. I think the Raiders coming out playing the way that they did. I thought that was kind of a positive surprise for them. They were quick and efficient with the football on offense. They were aggressive and flying around on defense. And, you know, after walking through a week of all that Antonio Brown soap opera, you know, it could have fallen apart. But they galvanized the team and came out with a win.
You mentioned the Miami Dolphins, and that's a strange situation. They're so clearly trying to tank and get the number one draft pick. Are we going to see a fire sale from them prior to the trade deadline, sort of reminiscent from maybe what we saw from the baseball team in the Miami area a couple years ago?
I think so. You already saw some of that. I mean, obviously with the Tunsil and Steele moves. I mean, you've already seen some of that. I think you could see a couple of guys. I know that Kenyon Drake and Rashad Jones are guys they've been shopping for a while, so they'll probably move on from them at some point as well. You'll see them totally retool that thing. They're trying to go kind of the Cleveland Browns route from the last couple of years.
Ben, we can't have you on without asking about a team that you follow fairly closely. That would be the Denver Broncos. They do have the Chicago Bears this weekend. Vic Fangio going up against his former employer. Denver did not look good in week one on Monday night. Your forecast going forward for the Broncos, what does it look like?
Well, the defense has to come together. That was really the surprise. The offense looked a little disjointed the first half. That was to be expected with so many new pieces, new coordinator, new quarterback, all that kind of stuff. But in the second half, the offense didn't look too bad. You know, matter of fact, they if it hadn't been for late in the first half, them sacking themselves out of field goal range and then dropping a touchdown, it's 10 points right there. Could have been a totally different football game. But the real, I think, surprise or disappointment for Broncos fans is how bad that defense looked, giving up 28 points against the Raiders, and something that was supposed to be a strength of the team. If they don't get their act together pretty quick, it could get ugly. You know, it's a different scheme. Last 7 years, the Broncos have been running the cover one or cover zero about every play, and now they're running umbrella zone. So it's a lot different in what they're doing. And I think there's, you know, being having Bryce Callahan out, Todd Davis out, and not being used to the new system really kind of hamstrung them a little bit. They got to get it together sooner or later. They could find themselves in a hole they can't get out of.
The game tonight, Tampa Bay, Carolina. How much is the clock ticking on the Jameis Winston era in Tampa?
I think that's over after this season. Over the last, 5 years, nobody has thrown more interceptions in the NFL than Jameis Winston. And of the quarterbacks that have thrown more than 60 interceptions, he has the lowest touchdown total behind guys like Blake Bortles. I compared him to Jay Cutler coming into the league. I've never seen anything that's going to move me off that in terms of ability. I think he was in a better scheme last year with all the vertical throwing. At least they could score more, but they couldn't stop anybody. So I think that's over after this year. Bruce Arians, go out there and find a guy that better fits what he wants to do.
Ben, we always appreciate it, and we will touch base with you down the road. Enjoy week two.
Absolutely, guys. Take care.
That's Benjamin Albright. Covers the NFL. You can give him a follow on Twitter at NFL Albright. Game week two, I should say, kicking off tonight. We will have that for you on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM at 7 o'clock. It's the Carolina Panthers at home as a 6.5-point favorite over Jameis Winston and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Going to be a lot of eyes in Eastern Iowa on that Bears-Broncos game. Here in week two, Vic Fangio, former coordinator for the Chicago Bears, knows Matt Nagy and his offense very well. Could be a good game. And the Bears do not want to start the season 0-2 after all of the Super Bowl hype and the hype of the offseason.
Must win for the Bears, my column.
There you go. Why this game is a must win for the Chicago Bears by Alex Kuhn. 520. You can join us on the KGYM text line brought to you by Hertin and Stocker Jewelers, 319-366-1600. The Cubs and Padres continuing play in San Diego. Cubs looking to split that four-game series, currently on top of the Padres 4-0 in the bottom of the seventh inning. A lot more to get to on the program today, including hearing from some of the Iowa football players as they gear up for this year's version of the Cy-Hawk battle with Iowa State. We'll hear from quarterback Nate Stanley and Michael Ojemudia, who could be in for a big day in Iowa's defensive backfield. He may need to have a big day if Matt Hankins is unavailable. Kayvon Merriweather already out. Geno Stone nicked up last week against Rutgers, is expected to play. Make sure you've got a roster or scorecard handy, because I think you're going to see some names that maybe you're not too familiar with unless you're a big-time hardcore Hawkeye football fan. That's coming up for you this Saturday. 3 o'clock is the kickoff, the game being broadcast on FS1. We'll have the radio call on 1600 AM, John Walters, and the Cyclone Sports Network. That begins at 1 o'clock on 1600 AM, at 1 o'clock on our FM frequencies. It's Before the Boom, our pregame show focusing on the Hawkeyes. It's going to be the first Before the Boom in quite a while without the services of you, Alex, but that's because you're going to be hanging out in Riverside at the Elite Sportsbook inside the Draft Day Lounge.
That's right. So Kyle will hold down the fort for me because I will be in Riverside from noon until 3 broadcasting, and I'm sure I'm going to stick around to watch some of the game and possibly play some bets on some other games. I don't have a good feel on this Iowa-Iowa State game. So I don't want to touch this one with a 10-foot pole, but you guys can. You can put your money where your mouth. I've seen some fantastic predictions on the Hertin and Stocker text line. You have a chance to put your money where your mouth is from noon until 3. Well, you can go in before that. I believe the ticket counter opens at 9 a.m.
9 a.m. They're going to be writing tickets, and you can bet on any game until your heart's content. It doesn't have to just be Iowa and Iowa State. We mentioned yesterday the liability out there for the sports book at the moment is heavily skewed toward Iowa. Tickets at about 8-1 on the Hawkeyes. The money, 6-1 on the Hawkeyes. An Iowa State victory would not be the worst thing in the world for the state's young, budding sports books. I will leave it at that. We do ask you a betting-related question today at KGYMradio.com. Over under 44 points. That's the total on Saturday's game in Ames. And as of last check, a number of our listeners were saying they expect fewer than 44 points to be scored combined between Iowa and Iowa State. And this is not an endorsement, but if I were putting my money on the Iowa-Iowa State game this weekend, I think I would put money on the under. Even though the over has hit in something, there was some statistic earlier today about the over in Iowa's games, whether it was against Iowa State or the road games, I can't remember, but you can't always trust the statistics. Statistics make everything look like an easy winner, and there is no such thing. But Iowa is at the moment, I just checked moments ago, still a 2.5-point favorite over Iowa State. A reminder, you could have gotten points with Iowa over the summer with this particular wager. The line has moved considerably now that we're actually into the 2019 campaign. We owe you a big board update brought to you by the good folks at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. We'll get that to you on the other side of this break, along with a Thursday edition of Would Ya, inspired by a question that was asked by one of our callers earlier in the 4 o'clock hour. And we invite you, the listener, this is a Would Ya which you can participate in with us on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Plus, coming up in the next 15 minutes, your opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. We will be back at Mulligan's next Thursday, a week from today, for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. $30 to Mulligan's is going to be yours coming up in less than 20 minutes. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, right here on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM after this.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the Gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
September 14th, join the Iowa Geocachers organization for Hike and Seek. Come together with geocachers from around the state at Wiki Up Hill Learning Center to enjoy a day outdoors hunting for treasure. Anyone can participate and everyone is welcome.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Fairfax State Savings Bank has been serving your community for 95 years. We're the bank here, or wherever you need us to be, harvesting that first ear of corn with 500 acres to go. Deciding on the perfect vacation spot. From your business to our office to the comfort of your home after a busy day. Explore your options at Fairfax State Savings Bank. Get started with your personal or business lending today at thebankhere.com. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Sports.
Great food.
Sports.
Great food.
Look at this place. There's black and gold everywhere.
Sports.
This green chili is made from scratch. So's the homemade meatball sandwich. And hello, house-made smoked pulled pork. Great food.
You'll just have to agree to disagree on why you come to Fieldhouse First Avenue. It's a sports bar steeped in Hawkeye tradition that also happens to have great food. This menu outkicks its coverage. Come for the food. Stay for the sports. Fieldhouse First Avenue. Cedar Rapids.
Hi, I'm a local dollar, and I just want you to know that if you buy local, that local businesses can grow. Put me in the pocket of your local grocery store, or take me to the farmer's market for flowers, soaps, and more. Spend me at the diner, or get ice cream at the pool. Put me down for coffee, or donate me to your school.
KGYM is a local radio station. We are local.
We support local.
Yay!
A local dollar goes a long, long way, but it's never far from home.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Tune in to KGYM Fridays during the gym class for the announcement of our Athlete of the Week. Proudly brought to you by Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 of Eastern and Central Iowa.
The Packers and Vikings, they go head-to-head in a critical early season showdown at Lambeau Field.
Sunday at 11 o'clock here on the gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
5:28, welcome back in. It is the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you until 7 o'clock tonight, currently on 1600 AM as well as 106.3 FM. Over on 107.5 FM, you've got high school football coming your way at the moment. Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, playing host to Linmar at Kingston Stadium. Why are they playing right now? Well, the threat of severe weather later this evening led to moving up the kickoff time. So we invite you, if you normally listen to us on 107.5 FM, well, if you normally listen to us on 107.5 FM, you can't even hear me say this right now, so I don't even know why I'm bothering to tell you that you could listen to us on 1600 AM or KGYMradio.com, where we currently are streaming. We'll get you an opportunity to take home a $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road coming up in less than 15 minutes. But right now, we owe you a big board update brought to you by our good friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. You can check out their brand new location on 420th Street. They also have the Answers by Alexander interior showroom located on South Gilbert Street. Kirk Ferentz revealed last night on his weekly call-in show that Iowa defensive back Matt Hankins could be a game-time decision this weekend as the Hawkeyes travel to Ames to take on Iowa State. Hankins listed as the team's starting right cornerback. Ferentz was questioned about Hankins' availability on Tuesday, declined to discuss his health status. Last night on his radio show, seeming to mention that Hankins is going, they're going to play it by ear, basically, is what Kirk Ferentz said. We got start times and TV network information for this year's Big Ten ACC Challenge in men's basketball, but it didn't really shine any light on Iowa's December 3rd game against Syracuse. It's either going to tip off at 6 or 6:30 Central Time, and it will be broadcast on ESPN or ESPN2. So most schools got an answer to when they will be playing and where you will be able to watch that game. Iowa and Syracuse still in a little bit of limbo. We mentioned high school football. The Jayhawks hosting Linmar tonight. You can listen to that game right now on 107.5 FM. Cedar Rapids Xavier also playing tonight. A Thursday night road contest there at Brady Street Stadium in Davenport, where they will face Davenport Assumption. And the Midwest League Championship Series is about to get underway at 6:05 tonight. Game two of the finals in South Bend, Indiana, featuring the Clinton Lumber Kings and the South Bend Cubs, the Cubs affiliate with a 1-0 lead in the best of five series. That's a big board update brought to you by Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. It is 5:31, time for a Thursday edition of Would You? And this one's going to be, Alex, a listener participation Would You? We want to hear from folks on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line because I think Keith in Cedar Rapids brought up a really good question back in the 4 o'clock hour. Who would you say needs this win more Saturday, Iowa State or Iowa? 319-366-1600. Who needs it more and why?
I had said yesterday, excuse me, that Matt Campbell, this was the last box that he could possibly check at Iowa State. I don't think that he has really anything else to prove. And somebody came back and said, well, he can win a Big 12 championship. No offense to Iowa State fans. The expectation at Iowa State is never going to be to constantly win a Big 12 championship. There are some programs in that conference, as I said on my sports view earlier today, that are always going to have the upper hand. So Iowa State sort of competing and getting into that mix at 8 wins, 9 wins is pretty remarkable in and of itself. And if they can stay there under Matt Campbell, he's well on his way to having a statue being built of him. The last box that he needs to check is to beat Iowa. He's lost the 3 consecutive matchups against their in-state rival. I just don't think it's necessarily going to affect his legacy if he can't win it this year. I do think that it is a monkey hanging on off of his back, and he's trying to get it, he's trying to erase that narrative, because that's really the only narrative left. But I look at this as a season thing. Iowa State has a pretty manageable schedule in the Big 12. Iowa doesn't have a very manageable schedule in the Big 10. They have to go on the road and play some really good teams. I think that for the season outlook, at least, which is what I was trying to say in hour number one, it would really benefit Iowa to get this win, because it's not going to get any easier having to go on the road and play teams like Wisconsin and Michigan and Northwestern.
Alex thinks Iowa needs the win more. What do you think? 319-366-1600. Again, I did not hesitate to answer earlier when Keith threw the question out there. I think Matt Campbell needs this win. It is one of the last things that he needs to check off on his to-do list before completing this low. I look at this sort of as a video game. And you got to do certain things before you can advance to the next level, before you level up. And for Iowa State and Matt Campbell to level up, I think knocking off Iowa and checking that box and being able to not have to deal with that storyline is a big part of taking a step forward. Again, Matt Campbell has proven he's not afraid to recruit head-to-head with Iowa. And that's something that the previous regime in Ames, for whatever reason, it just seemed like there was sort of a gentleman's agreement almost about 8 out of every 10 high school recruits, if they were recruited by Iowa, Iowa State wasn't interested in, and that's different now. Iowa's looking at a kid. Matt Campbell and his staff are right there trying to get the kid to come to Ames as well. They're not scared. They're not intimidated by the Iowa football program, and it's just one of a million reasons to like Matt Campbell if you're an Iowa State fan. That being said, Iowa still has that to use on the recruiting trail. I don't know how effective it is with 17- and 18-year-old kids that they've won 4 games in a row, but I really think Matt Campbell and Iowa State need this win on Saturday, and I think they've got a good chance of getting it. We'll get into our specific predictions tomorrow for the game, but I do think this is going to be a tight one. So that's how we answered this week's Would Ya. How would you answer it? 319-366-1600, the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line beginning to light up. 0696 pointing out that Matt Campbell extends a lot of offers, so that's probably why. No, it's not. I'm talking about the top recruits in the state of Iowa. For whatever reason, Paul Rhodes seemed a little gun-shy when it came to going toe-to-toe with Iowa on some of the elite recruits, the top 10, top 5 players in the state. That's not Matt Campbell's MO. And so, again, I think he's changed the game in Ames. And what he needs to do in order to level up is he needs to knock off Iowa. 319-366-1600. Again, the texts continuing to come in. 8169, Hawkeyes need the win more. Who cares what Campbell needs on his resume? Well, Matt Campbell, Iowa State fans, you know, they'll tolerate a lot of things, but continually losing to Iowa, a section of the fan base doesn't like that. Although he's built up quite a bit of cachet, I think he can survive losing to Iowa a couple times. I take the Kirk Ferentz approach to this. You'd rather lose a non-conference game than lose a conference game. And I think 9 times out of 10, an Iowa State fan or an Iowa fan would trade a loss to their rival for an undefeated conference season. You always have those loonies out there on the fringes that are like, I'd rather beat Iowa and go 500 in the Big 12. Yeah. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't.
Well, there are the people that say that, but neither coach feels that way.
Right.
It's very obvious that that's the case.
Again, this is the Spider-Man meme come to life. This is Kirk Ferentz and Matt Campbell pointing at one another. Like, I can't stress this enough, and I know it bothers both fan bases to say this, but these two coaches and these two programs, they're a lot alike. There's a lot of shared DNA there now with the way that Matt Campbell, right down to how is he building this program? He's building it on the lines. And it's one of the first things that Kirk Ferentz did when he took over was he addressed the lines. Matt Campbell doing some of the same things in Ames as he's got Iowa State following a similar trajectory to Kirk Ferentz when he took over for Hayden Fry after the 1998 season. Took about 3 years. They found their footing. Iowa State was ahead of schedule. Go to the Liberty Bowl. Last year, they take a big step up, go to the Alamo Bowl, nearly knock off Washington State. Expectations are high this season, preseason, third place finish. One thing he hasn't done yet is he hasn't beaten Iowa. 319-366-1600. You can pick up the phone and give us a call, or you can use the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Who would you say needs a win more on Saturday? Iowa or Iowa State? And if you want to view it as Kirk Ferentz or Matt Campbell, you're more than welcome to view it through that lens as well. But I think Iowa State makes more sense.
I've heard a little bit of it, but has Kirk Ferentz sort of in the past been criticized for not treating this as a rivalry as enough of an important game?
Yeah, the perception is out there, and it has been for a long time from fans, especially those who congregate on message boards or are particularly vocal on Twitter, that this is just another game. And I saw Tyler Kluver tweet that for Iowa, this is week 3 on the schedule, sort of a dig at Iowa State, which focuses on the team out east. And I think the perception is it's a little bit bigger deal to Iowa State than it is to Iowa. Iowa treats every game like it's week 2, week 3, week 4, week 5. And I think you sort of have to do that with the grind of a 12-game college football season. But that doesn't mean that you can't, in the back of your mind, get a little excited or a little jacked up for a rivalry game. And both sides want desperately to win this game Saturday in Ames. There's no doubt about it.
I see the narrative sort of shaping up the same way with Matt Campbell as it did with Kirk Ferentz. I think I said this on the Sports View today once again, but I think the narrative around it being Iowa State's Super Bowl here in 2019 is so far away from reality for Matt Campbell and his program. If it was Iowa State's Super Bowl, the things that they would do would be much different than what they're actually doing. This is a team that is built to win in the Big 12. This is a team that has put their program's identity into winning in the Big 12, from their defensive alignment to the way that they play ball control offense with a little bit of explosiveness kind of mixed in. He needs to find a way now to game plan for Iowa. Now, they should have won the game 2 years ago. They didn't. They didn't finish. Last year, they couldn't get anything going, but I want to see if Iowa State can put their best foot forward, can put the guys on the field in positions that they can succeed, because they've been able to do that come Big 12 play the past couple of years. They have not been able to do that in the Cy-Hawk game. Can this year be the different in that way?
Ryan in Walford says, Iowa needs it more, especially with Michigan looking somewhat pedestrian. If they get past Iowa State, I could see Iowa going 11-1 and having one of those special years with the only loss coming to Wisconsin. Ooh.
So Michigan kind of looks pedestrian because of the loss or the game against Army last week.
I guess that's part of the logic there. That's running the tape. That's beating Middle Tennessee State, beating Michigan, beating Penn State, beating Purdue, beating Northwestern. So 8-0 to start the season before losing at Wisconsin and then reeling off three more wins and presumably going to Indianapolis.
That's lofty.
Very lofty. But I agree. I think through the course of 2 weeks, I think you can look at Wisconsin and you can look at Iowa and you can say those two teams look like they're probably the two leaders in the clubhouse right now in the Big Ten West. Purdue has had some sketchy moments. Minnesota has looked good but not great. Nebraska has been sort of laughable in the fact that they've continued to stumble their way through the Scott Frost era. Northwestern has looked okay but not great. Illinois is better, but still so far behind the pack that they've got some catching up to do. Iowa and Wisconsin are sort of 1A and 1B, or depending on how you want to sort them out, you can put whoever you want on top of the other one. They're right next to each other, in my opinion. 11-1, I like the optimism there. I think Cyclone Tim may come in on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line and throw a bucket of water on that, and he does. His response is one word, typical. 319-366-1600. Tim, you got to worry about your Vikings this weekend, taking on the Packers as a, what, I think Minnesota's a three and a half point. Are they an underdog to Green Bay at Lambeau? Can't remember. I was looking at the teaser card at the Elite Sportsbook a couple days ago. Vikings-Packers, certainly the highlight of week two, at least for a lot of folks here in eastern Iowa, as the NFL continues its season. Week two kicking off tonight on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM at 7 o'clock. Carolina hosting Tampa Bay. Let's head to the phone lines. 319-366-1600, Robin in Cedar Rapids. What's up, Robin?
Well, I know you were talking about Michigan. I know Wisconsin looks good to many, and, of course, Iowa could have a good season ahead. I could see Iowa going 10-2 and winning the West. The thing on Michigan is their offense didn't look good in either game, though they did score a lot of points against Western, the school Iowa plays. The real thing is Wisconsin has to go and play Ohio State, Michigan, and Michigan State. So schedule-wise, I think Iowa may have a better road than Wisconsin. So 10-2 is what I would say.
All right. Ooh. We're going down that rabbit hole. So we got 11-1 and now 10-2.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I
think the implication there is that Iowa needs the win more. To get back to the original question, who needs the win more, Iowa State or Iowa on Saturday? I don't know where we're getting these lofty predictions now that we've seen Iowa play two games against opponents that, let's be very frank about this, haven't been very good. Michigan struggled against Army. Yeah, Purdue's looked kind of pedestrian. Northwestern, so-so. Minnesota, so-so. Nebraska being Nebraska so far. That's still such a brutal schedule for the Hawkeyes. I just don't know how anybody can look at it at this point and say 10 or 11 wins. But get ready for an old cliche here. That's why they play the games.
I feel like the only thing that we know about the Big Ten West right now is that Wisconsin looks like they're much improved from last year. Like they'll bounce back to that. Contender status in the Big Ten West. Other than that, I don't feel like we know anything. Northwestern, I never judge them by their non-conference schedule. I have learned from my mistakes in the past. Illinois, I think, is still bad. Minnesota, Purdue, Nebraska. They lost at Colorado last week. I'm not ready to write them off in the Big Ten West. They started playing well midway through last year. There is still a lot of football left to be played, and we still have so way more questions than we do have answers right now.
Now, I like this approach on the text line. The last text that we just received, I believe it came from 0905, says, if both teams would go on to have a magical season and possibly playing for a playoff spot, I think a loss would be worse for Iowa State. With their lack of respect, they need every game for credibility. They need the perfect season. Iowa could possibly lose this game, but still have a chance to win a Big Ten championship. So if you're keeping track at home, we've gone from Iowa 11-1 to Iowa 10-2 to now the discussion being both Iowa and Iowa State having a hypothetical magical season and duking it out for a playoff spot.
Which player from each team will be in New York going for the Heisman in this scenario?
Well, Nathan Stanley.
Okay.
If Iowa's going 11-1, these
Mekhi teams, Sargent, Doak
yeah,
Walker
these,
Award.
These teams don't have a Heisman contender on them, even if they do go 10-2 or 11-1. But I do love the optimism from both sides of the fan base here. 548. We promised you a $30 gift card to Mulligan's for being with us tonight. We'll be back at Mulligan's next Thursday, a week from tonight, for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire. Caller number 6 is going to take home $30 to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road right now, 319-366-1600. Check out their Facebook page for some upcoming live music. Happy Hour runs from 3 until 6 every day at Mulligan's, and on Thursdays like tonight, you can enjoy half-price wings from 6 until close. We'll take caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. And when we return to the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids, we'll hear what Michael Ojemudia has to say about Iowa traveling west to take on the Cyclones this week. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
Join me, the Jim's Alex Kuhn, broadcasting live Saturday before the Hawkeye game at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Welcome back to No Brainer. Gary.
I'll take cars and trucks.
What's the best way to protect your engine from gum, varnish, and corrosion?
Stabil 360.
Gasoline with ethanol can go bad in as little as blank.
30 days?
Using Stabil 360 ethanol treatment year-round is what?
Is it a no-brainer?
It is. You win peace of mind, Gary.
Awesome. Can I have money?
Stabil 360. It's a no-brainer. Available where fuel additives are sold.
Guys, the secret is out. If you want healthy sex, your body needs nitric oxide. And now you can boost your nitric oxide production faster than you thought possible with Ageless Male Tonight, the absurdly fast formula from the number one brand in male enhancement. Just take one capsule an hour before romantic activity. You'll get clinically tested ingredients that rapidly boost nitric oxide production, and it won't go unnoticed. Rush to 7-Eleven and get Ageless Male Tonight.
If you hear squealing and grinding noises from your vehicle, it's time for new brakes. Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, when you buy any set of Brake Best pads and any two Brake Best rotors, you'll save 10% on your total purchase. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Oh, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets go head-to-head at Citi Field.
Coverage begins Sunday at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
And we welcome you back in with a hearty congratulations to Sean in Cedar Rapids, the winner of tonight's $30 gift card to Mulligan's Pub on Old Marion Road. Use that $30 wisely any way you see fit. However, we would like to, of course, recommend you join us next Thursday for the KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire and LinderTire.com. It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on 1600 AM Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, also airing on 106.3 FM at the moment, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, currently occupied by Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Linmar at Kingston Stadium, hoping to get that game in ahead of some very severe weather, which could be hitting the area tonight. So kudos to the folks at both schools for agreeing to move that kickoff up. I know it made life difficult for Scott Unash, but the safety of the players and fans paramount above all else, and it does sound like we could be in for a pretty hairy evening tonight. It's already looking interesting to the north. We promised you some Iowa player audio from Iowa City earlier this week. The players met the media Tuesday after practice. Here's what Michael Ojemudia had to say, keeping in mind that we now know Matt Hankins could be out and the defensive backs could be in for a very busy day. Here's a guy who could be the MVP if Iowa wins. They're going to need him to come up big. Michael Ojemudia.
Atmosphere at Ames, what's it like?
It's crazy at Ames. You know, my first time was about, like, I think it was 4 years ago, going to Ames and, you know, just walking to the stadium, you could see from the fans and the little kids just yelling at you that it was really going to be a hostile game. And, you know, this rivalry, that's when I first learned about it, because I'm not really from here, but I learned how big that rivalry was that day.
Is it fun for you to go in and play in a place like that?
It is fun, because, you know, being a competitor, you know, Kinnick, it's a really good stadium. You know, you have the fans behind you, but going to somebody else's house and shutting them up, that's the best feeling out there.
They lost Butler. What do you think of their receiving core now in their offense?
Yeah, they definitely lost Butler and Montgomery, but they still have pieces around them, so it's definitely going to be a challenge because across the board they're really good, and, you know, it's not just one person, it's a spread attack. So I think being balanced as a defense is the way to stop them this week.
How tough is it when Purdy can run and buy time and take off?
Yeah, we definitely have to be disciplined and have some eyes on him because he's not a burner, but if you let him go, he can get you down the field. So it's definitely going to be a task just keeping him contained this week.
Have you noticed his pump fakes?
Yeah, he's a really smart quarterback, and you know, he's almost playing at like a next level. So I think he's really smart, and just if we do our job, we can neutralize him.
Where can you guys improve? Shoutouts, obviously, what your goal is, but now going on the road, it's a different animal. You got a non-conference opponent. How do you kind of think you guys can take another step?
Yeah, this is definitely our biggest challenge up to date, going into a different environment, because we've had the benefit of playing on Kinnick for the first two games, but going to an environment like Iowa State with their fans and whatever, it's definitely going to have to be big. We're going to have to be on our stuff this week with communication and being on the same page, because, you know, with all the crowd and whatever, it can get hostile this week and you can forget what you're doing.
You guys had a number of guys to replace on the defensive side of the ball this year, but thus far it appears to be the same old stout Hawkeye defense. So why so seamless of a transition from year to year?
Yeah, the way we practice and the way we, you know, the way we teach the same things to the older guys, to the younger guys, so that when their number is called, they can be ready. So, you know, we say the next man in or whatever thing, we say that a lot, but we actually really practice it so that whenever somebody goes down, the next person comes in seamlessly, and it's like there's no change. So that's the goal for we do during practice.
That's Iowa defensive back Michael Ojemudia from Tuesday's media availability in Iowa City. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll hear from more of the Hawkeye players. Local programming picks up tomorrow at 3 o'clock here on KGYM with the Gym Class, brought to you by Third Base Brewery. Just like KGYM, locally owned and operated, it's a place where families meet up again and again. Great for a quick lunch or catch the game after work. Third Base Brewery, the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class. Scott and Mark coming your way tomorrow at 3 o'clock. We'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll let you know what's on tap for the third and final hour. Back with more after this.
Sarah Spain here. Now that I'm married and I have a mortgage, I need to start thinking about things like buying life insurance. Life insurance can help pay off a mortgage or send the kids to college. It's peace of mind. Think you can't afford it? Chances are SelectQuote can help you get it for less than a dollar a day. SelectQuote comparison shops up to 10 highly rated companies, including Prudential, Banner Life, and Mutual of Omaha, and others, to find you the company with the best rates. For example, SelectQuote could find a 35-year-old man a $500,000 policy for under $21 a month. That's less than a dollar a day. Cup of coffee costs you more than that. SelectQuote's breakthrough technology allows them to quickly match you with the best insurance company to find your best policy. Plus, quotes are free. Start protecting your family today. Call SelectQuote at 1-800-780-7070. That's 1-800-780-7070. Or go to SelectQuote.com/Sarah. That's SelectQuote.com/Sarah.
Get full details and the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your premium could vary depending on health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read reviews of the pros, check their availability, and even book appointments online. And what my wife loves most is that HomeAdvisor is completely free to use.
Go to HomeAdvisor.com or download the free app to get started.
HomeAdvisor.
And we welcome you back in the final minute of the 5 o'clock hour with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, KGYM. Also coming your way on 106.3 FM right now, the South Gym in Iowa City. We got a poll question for you today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on 1st Avenue Southeast, behind Taco John's, next to the Home Depot. Over under 44 points on Saturday. Which way are you leaning right now? High-scoring affair between the Hawkeyes and Cyclones, or will the defenses dictate the outcome? As of last check, the majority of our listeners were saying the smart money is on the under. Coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, we'll talk a little NFL football. Sam Darnold out for a couple weeks due to mononucleosis. The Jets having a hard time catching a break here in 2019. NFL kicks off tonight, week 2, the Panthers and Buccaneers. All that plus more Iowa player audio on the way after this.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.
I'm Doug Brown. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold will be out indefinitely with mono. Trevor Siemian takes over as the starter. And head coach Adam Gase says in the long run, this could be a good thing.
What's our attitude going to be? Is it going to be, woe is me, the sky's falling? Or is it, this is a challenge we're going to embrace? And guys just getting tighter in the locker room and everybody coming together and doing their job as well as they can to help us win.
Jets running back Le'Veon Bell missed practice today to get a precautionary MRI on his shoulder. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler reports that MRI shows no major damage. Fowler also reports neither the Patriots nor the Raiders were aware of a possible civil lawsuit against wideout Antonio Brown. Representatives for Brown and his accuser, Brittany Taylor, were having confidential discussions until the suit was filed this week in Florida. The first game of week 2 is tonight with the Panthers hosting the Buccaneers, both teams 0-1. Shohei Ohtani of the Angels will have season-ending left knee surgery tomorrow, but should be ready to go for spring training. Ohtani didn't pitch this year after Tommy John's surgery. Dodgers lefty Rich Hill will start against the Orioles tonight. He's been out almost 3 months with a forearm strain. Baseball finals today, first of a doubleheader in Detroit. The Yankees beat up the Tigers 10-4. Edwin Encarnacion with a two-run homer, but then left the game with a strained left oblique. The Brewers won their seventh in a row, sweeping a four-game series 3-2 against the Marlins. The Mets sweep a four-game series over the Diamondbacks 11-1.
Coming up on Friday, our fall football tour is on. We're on the road from Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor in Washington, D.C., ahead of the Cowboys Redskins. Golic and Wingo, Friday, live from Washington, D.C., 6 Eastern ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Twins and the Nationals, game 2 of this 3-game series. The magic number 13 entering play on a gray overcast and kind of a misty evening in downtown Minneapolis. The Nationals got two runs off Martin Perez in the opening inning and then would add on in the third. And Martin Perez this season, the two-out number has been problematic, and that was the case again in his start in Game 2 of this series. He got the first two guys out, but then he walked Juan Soto. Howie Kendrick then with an RBI double to right on a ball that Eddie Rosario misplayed. Should have caught that ball, and that was a big miss by Eddie because the very next batter was Ryan Zimmerman. And the 0-1 pitch, a blast to left field and trouble. That is towards the bleachers and long gone. Home run, Ryan Zimmerman. 5-0 Nationals. So the Nationals capitalizing on the extra out and Zimmerman launching his sixth home run. It was a 5-0 game. Twins got two back on a Polanco homer in the third and we're down 5-2. But Steven Strasburg, he is making a lot of money for a reason. He's really good. And he was on the mound for Washington. Wasn't very sharp, but still was able to limit damage. He went six innings, struck out seven, gave up two runs on four hits. The best scoring chance the Twins had in the later innings came in the seventh inning. They were down, make it the eighth inning. They were down 5-2, and they had two guys on with nobody out against a pretty shaky Washington bullpen. But Eddie Rosario flied out to left. William Zastadillo popped out to center, and Eddie Adrianza popped out to short, ending the threat right there. And the Twins would fall eventually 6-2. The pitching matchup tonight, Martin Perez went five innings, gave up the five runs on five hits. The bullpen did fine. Littell, Gratterall, Romero, and Dobnak combined for four innings and only gave up the one run. But the Twins offensively, just a quiet night when they're missing so many guys. Another night where there was no Kepler, no Sano, no Crone, no Gonzalez, no Cave. Garver got the night off, so the Twins line up pretty thin right now at a big part of the schedule. And the offense put up two runs, eight hits, and they fell 6-2. Rubber game of the series comes your way on Thursday night with Kyle Gibson off the injury list pitching for the Twins opposite lefty Patrick Corbin. We'll join you at 6 o'clock with the pregame show. But the final from Wednesday night at Target Field, Nationals 6 and the Twins 2. Corey Provis on your home for Twins baseball.
All right, it's time for some straight talk. You wouldn't pay $100 for seats to a baseball game where you can get the same seats for $50. So why pay more on your wireless when you can get the same 4G LTE networks for up to half the cost? For $45 a month, get our unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data from Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
Simple ingredients for a pigskin feast. Equal parts offense and defense, plus a dash of special teams in the clutch. And top it off with a heaping helping of screaming fans. Get your pigskin fill right here on the Cyclone Sports Network.
Saturday, the Cyclones host the Iowa Hawkeyes. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock here on the gym. 1600 AM, KGYM.
Welcome back in, 6:05. It is the Todd Brummelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM, 106.3 FM as well, our South Gym in Iowa City. We will rejoin up with 107.5 FM after tonight's high school football game comes to a completion between Cedar Rapids, Jefferson, and Linmar. And sweet Jesus, if you're a fan of the Chicago Cubs, it certainly looked like the Cubs were going to dodge a bullet today in San Diego and get out of town with a sweep of the Padres. They're up 4-0 right now with two outs in the bottom of the ninth inning. That's the good news. The bad news is the bases are loaded and Manny Machado is pinch hitting for the Padres right now with one swing of the bat. That game very well could be tied. The Cubs will gain no ground on the St. Louis Cardinals today. They are currently pounding the Rockies 10-3 at Coors Field, and the Cubs will not put any distance between themselves and the Milwaukee Brewers in the wild card race as Milwaukee finished off a sweep of the Marlins earlier today in Miami. A victory today would keep them in a tie with the Brewers for the last wild card spot. A loss would certainly indicate that this team is circling the drain. 319-366-1600. I know a lot of folks out there think that once football season rolls around, you turn the page on baseball season, but I know Eastern Iowa, and I know there are a lot of baseball fans here who are still following along with the various pennant races, and that includes both the AL and NL Central races. The Twins at home tonight, looking to put some distance between them and the Indians. They've got the Nationals winding things down in that series. That'll be a 6:40 first pitch coming up for you at Target Field. Unfortunately, we will not be airing that game tonight due to high school football and NFL obligations. 319-366-1600. That is the Hartine and Stocker Jewelers text line. And now we have people calling for Joe Maddon's head on a pike in the office. Look, Maddon's not coming back. I think.
Yeah, I mean,
the writing is very clear. I've said this. Have I not said this since April? I said they weren't going to bring him back, regardless of they needed to win a World Series.
I think you might have even said that before. Said it before April.
Yeah, just it's not looking good for Joe. It's not looking good for the Cubs, and this is a tremendously talented team that now 3 years in a row seems to have squandered things. And the season's not over yet, but and they're up 4-0, and now it's 4-1, and the bases are still loaded. And if you would have said at the beginning of this four-game series, hey, be happy to get out of town with a split, I think most fans would look and go, it's the Padres. You got to take three of four at least. The Cardinals are playing gangbusters right now. I mean, what's going on with St. Louis? I mean, I followed, but I'm following from a distance. Are they getting pitching? Are they finally getting timely hitting from virtually everybody? Explain to me what's going on.
They're getting pitching.
I saw they lost last 2-1. If you follow me on Twitter at Todd Brommelkamp, you know that I was offering wagering advice. Please don't blame me for any wins and losses now that gambling is legal. But occasionally I like to throw out games that I like, and one of the games yesterday was St. Louis -145 on the money line with Daniel Hudson on the mound. And, of course, that game lost. Colorado won 2-1, and so I had people saying, hey, great job there. Baseball's the hardest sport to handicap because, quite frankly, virtually everything is a crapshoot. You just don't know with baseball. A guy can be an ace, and even Justin Verlander has an off day from time to time. But I'm looking at that. Daniel Hudson, quietest 15-game winner in Major League Baseball. He's, 15-7 this year? Who would have expected that at the beginning of the season? That's a guy that the Cardinals were looking at trying to figure out whether or not he was like a 7th or 8th inning reliever long term. And they're like, well, we'll begin the season with you on the back end of our rotation. We'll see how things go.
And he started off terribly.
And he did start off terrible, and now he's 15-7. Now, I know wins and losses are not exactly the greatest stat to go by for pitchers in 2019. It's pretty amazing to me to, once again, and I've been a baseball fan all my life, to be reminded of the fact that over the course of a 162-game season, you have these ebbs and these flows, and then it just seems like you get to September, and all bets are off. That game has gone final, by the way, at Petco. The Cubs dodge a bullet. They beat the Padres 4-1, so nobody gains or loses ground in either the NL Central race or in the wild card race, at least as it pertains to the Cubs and the Brewers. They entered the game tied for the last wild card. They will enter tomorrow tied for the last wild card, and the Cardinals still have that lead in the division. 319-366-1600 from Major League Baseball to the NFL. This is just a season of bizarre headlines in the NFL so far. We've gone from Andrew Luck's surprise retirement on the eve of the season to Antonio Brown working his way to being released by the Raiders, signing with the Patriots, now being investigated for sexual assault. And the latest bizarre headline that the NFL has gifted us, we've got a starting quarterback in the National Football League who's going to miss multiple games with mononucleosis, otherwise known as the kissing disease. This is something that a lot of younger people come down with. It is often transmitted through things like saliva. So naturally there you're looking at this going, how in the hell do you come down with mononucleosis when you're a starting quarterback in the NFL? Have you ever had mono?
I have not, and I am wishing that I never do, because I have seen people with mono, and it looks absolutely positively miserable.
It is downright awful. Obviously, you have a long list of diseases in which you don't even want to compare anything to,
right?
Cancer, leukemia, things of that nature. In the things that are just downright annoying, nothing tops mononucleosis. You are sapped of all your energy for weeks. Your appetite is gone. You don't want to eat anything. And when you finally do, it's a very small, select handful of things. I don't think they're around anymore, so it's not like this is free advertising or anything. They closed. They used to have a store on Edgewood, but when I had mono in 2006, I was 26. I was a little on the older side, I think roughly the same age. How old is Sam Darnold? He's got to be 24, maybe? 24, somewhere, 25?
Somewhere around there.
Lost my appetite, lost my will to my energy to get out
He's
of bed.
22.
Okay. It's understandable. And finally, for about 2 days, the only thing that I had an appetite for, the only thing that I could even stomach eating, breadsticks from Fazoli's.
I remember you telling me this story.
Don't yell at me for giving them free advertising. It's a Zio Giannos now. I think they've turned that into. For 2 days straight, I lived and survived off breadsticks because it was the only thing that I felt like putting in my body. And after a while, you gradually get your energy back, but you still feel like the world is operating in slow motion. And they're saying that this is going to be multiple weeks without Sam Darnold. In the meantime, guess who takes over at quarterback? Former Northwestern quarterback Trevor Siemian is your new signal caller with the New York Jets. And you got Le'Veon Bell, who's nursing an injury. Quincy Enunwa is out for the year. And Adam Gase is your head coach.
Adam Gase is going to need extra smelling salts prior to that Monday night matchup against...
His eyes are bulging out of his head right now at all of this news. Thoughts on tonight's game? I said this in the 4 o'clock hour. If you can still get Christian McCaffrey at 5-1 at the Elite Sportsbook to score first tonight, that seems to be a tremendous value as I see it. Carolina, a 6.5-point favorite over Tampa Bay.
Here's a question that was posed the other night by a group of friends. Tampa Bay, Carolina. Does Tampa Bay have the worst starting quarterback in the NFL right now?
Jameis?
Yes. Is Jameis Winston the worst starting quarterback currently right now in the NFL?
Oh, man. Gardner Minshew is technically the starter.
True.
Which I'm sure you saw this. He's Gardner Minshew the second, and there is no Gardner Minshew the first. I didn't know you could do this. I didn't know you could just make somebody the second without having a first.
That sounds like something that Gardner Minshew would do. He's an interesting cat.
He's spawning, I don't know if you've seen this, a series of memes on Twitter where people, there was a picture posted of him earlier today, I think from Jacksonville's weekly news conference, and people were captioning it with various funny things. I'll see if I can find the one that gave me a particularly good chuckle earlier today. Gardner Minshew reckons that that carburetor is busted to hell, but give him $100 in 2 hours and he'll find you one that ain't. Just don't ask where he found it or how he got it. What a story. This is a guy that was going to wind up, thought he was going to be a graduate assistant for Nick Saban at Alabama, and winds up transferring to Washington State and leading the nation in passing a year ago, beats Iowa State in the Alamo Bowl, and then is a late draft pick, very late draft pick by Jacksonville. Nick Foles breaks his collarbone in the season opener, and Minshew comes in and completes, what, the first 13 passes he threw or something?
Yep.
I mean, this is absolutely crazy. This is a Cinderella story.
And he's,
he's goofy looking.
He's goofy looking. His dad is by the way, is the one who named him Gardner too.
His grandfather wanted to name him Beowulf.
So this is what we're working with.
Even better. I want to know as much as I can about this entire family. They sound right up. This sounds as if the universe was pulling him toward Mike Leach.
He could not have
played for any other coach in college football than Mike Leach.
He played at ECU my brother's senior year, and the ECU played Memphis in the final game, and they lost 70-14. There was absolutely nothing around him. He was good. I remember being like, this quarterback can actually play, and everybody else around him is terrible, including the defense. And then he had that graduate transfer year, and I see him end up at Washington State, and I'm like, wait a second. Mike Leach and this guy, they might be okay. I didn't realize he was going to do what he did, but the guy can play, and he has had to prove himself every step of the way. Nothing has been given to him, and I'm going to be excited to see him play in Jacksonville. I think he has a little Fitz magic in him. Not that that's the most ringing endorsement, but Ryan Fitzpatrick has been in the NFL for a very long time.
All right, so swing me back home to the conversation on Jameis Winston being the worst starting quarterback in the NFL.
Who is in that discussion? Who's even there? Are you putting the young second-year quarterbacks are, I'm not going to say they're off limits, but Mitch Trubisky, I guess you can say, okay, well, he's looked terrible at his lowest points, but he's at least had some productivity. Other than that, who can you even put in that category? Joe Flacco's won a Super Bowl. Ryan Fitzpatrick beat out Jameis Winston fair and square in Tampa Bay. Who are we working with here?
Who beat out Josh Rosen in Miami?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay. You got to take him off the board, I guess.
Case Keenum? I don't know. Case Keenum's been
Buffalo right now?
Josh Allen, second-year quarterback.
Okay, so you're not allowing second-year quarterbacks to be part of the discussion.
If the second-year quarterback has been absolutely terrible and is starting, like if Josh Rosen was starting for the Dolphins, I think I would allow Josh Rosen. But I feel like with Trubisky and Josh Allen, we've seen production to the point where we're still waiting on those guys. We're not waiting on Jameis Winston. He's really not good.
Well, this is his make or break year, right?
I think he's already broke. As far as Bruce Arians coming in, they'll play him the rest of the year, maybe, but I just don't see this working out. And yeah, 98-84, we can throw Trevor Siemian in there, but that just happened by
default
because of mono.
Technically a starter. I just give Josh Pennington a call, see what he's doing. He's got to have somebody available that's better than Trevor Siemian.
Chad Henne?
Tyler would know. 319-366-1600. All of this a means to an end to discuss game two of the season, week two of the NFL season. Carolina hosting Tampa Bay. Carolina is a 6.5-point favorite. The underdog has done very well in this series between Carolina and Tampa Bay, but 6.5, I'd be tempted to lean on Tampa Bay tonight, but Carolina's got a defense, and Jameis Winston turns the ball over. So I think Carolina could cover up that 6.5 tonight. I think the play might be the under. Somebody signed Tebow, according to the text line. He's still trying to make it as a Major League Baseball player in AAA for the New York Mets, even though his season came to an end earlier this year. I saw he is being included in the latest baseball card set that's being released soon. That those of you who collect Bowman baseball cards, you can get your hands on a Tim Tebow card.
See, I know this is hard to believe, but Tim Tebow's name got brought up as well in the discussion of Tebow's time at Florida. how much did Urban Meyer fool us with having Tim Tebow as the face of his program at the time at Florida with everything else going on behind the scenes?
This is notable ethics lecturer Urban Meyer teaching at Ohio State.
We were like, oh, this Tebow guy.
Has he left the TV booth yet? Has he taken another job? Or?
No, he's still at Fox.
For now.
Like, this guy's such an upstanding citizen. He's a nice guy. He's so disciplined. He's never drinking alcohol before. He hasn't done anything wrong. And then behind the scenes, there's just how many dozens of players who had been arrested.
99.84
says, there needs to be a 30 for 30 on that.
If only there were a proven NFL quarterback without a job right now. Well, he's out there. No one's going to sign him. 6:23, we owe you a big board update, and we'll get that to you right now, as a matter of fact, brought to you by our friends at Alexander Lumber in Iowa City. We'll start with Hawkeye football news. Kirk Ferentz made his weekly radio appearance last night and divulged that Matt Hankins may be questionable for Saturday's Cy-Hawk game against Iowa State. Ferentz was asked on Tuesday about Hankins' status. He didn't say one way or the other whether the right cornerback was injured. Last night, he seemed to take a step closer to admitting that Hankins will be a game-time decision. Kayvon Merriweather has already been ruled out for Saturday's game, leaving the Iowa secondary several bodies shy of being full strength, facing Brock Purdy and the Cyclones. That game kicks off at 3 o'clock. We'll have it for you on 1600 AM. And we'll bring you a pregame show centered on the Hawkeyes on 106.3 and 107.5 FM at 1 o'clock this Saturday. The Big Ten announced start times and television deals for the Big Ten ACC Challenge this season. However, didn't provide much clarity for Iowa's December 3rd trip to the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York. Iowa will take on Syracuse at either 6 or 6:30, and that game will be on ESPN or ESPN2. And the Midwest League Championship Series underway in South Bend, Indiana. It is game two between the Clinton Lumber Kings and the South Bend Cubs. That game is currently in the bottom of the first inning. South Bend leads 2-0. Game three will be Saturday night in Clinton, games 4 and 5, if necessary, Sunday and Monday. Colonels, of course, bowed out of the 2019 Midwest League season with a loss to Clinton on Monday night. 6:25, we will take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll hear what Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley had to say about getting ready for Iowa State and the Cy-Hawk Trophy this Saturday. Back with more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on Eastern Iowa's home for ESPN Radio, 1600 AM KGYM after this.
This is the Xavier Report, presented by Schimberg Company.
The Xavier football team raised their record to 2-0 on the young season with a 36-14 win at Decorah last Friday. The Saints outscored the Vikings 29-0 in the second half for their 28th straight win. The Class 3A number 2 rated Saints will have a Thursday game tonight on the road at number 10 rated Davenport Assumption at Bradley Street Stadium in Davenport. The Xavier volleyball team defeated Prairie on Tuesday night 3-0 to go to 8-1 on the season. Eve McGill had 15 kills to lead the Class 4A number 2 rated Saints. The Xavier boys golf team finished 4th in the Crandick Golf Meet at Gardner on Tuesday and will host Kennedy, Liberty, and Dubuque Hempstead in a quad meet today. And the boys and girls cross country teams will be running in the Cedar Rapids Invitational today at Knoll Ridge Park.
The Xavier Report is brought to you by Schimberg Company. Family owned and serving the Cedar Rapids community since 1918. Schimberg Company, proudly supporting the Saints.
Online sports betting is here with EliteSportsbook.com. If you are an active Riverside Casino and Golf Resort Club member, go to EliteSportsbook.com now and follow the prompts to start betting. Not a resort club member? Visit Riverside Casino to join today. Bet with Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort or online now. More ways to get in the game with EliteSportsbook.com and Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. Must be 21. Gambling a problem? Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com presents The World's Worst Boss, the one who posts jobs on huge national job sites looking for anyone with a pulse. We'll just call him Dave.
Dave, did you forward me this email from Svetlana?
Yes.
You want me to interview her for a job?
Well, it says she's looking to get down to business.
It also says she likes gentle bear cub man who knows what he likes.
I'm gentle.
Dave, this is a Ukrainian dating site.
Corporate said we should hire more diverse candidates.
Don't be a Dave. Find your perfect local employee at Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, HelpWanted.com. Local jobs that work.
Defining sports culture, piece by piece. The rhythm of the running game. The pulse of the passing attack. The riffs and reps of each play. The majesty of putting it all together. Every sport needs a great soundtrack. Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hills Bank is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the Gym. Connect with a banker in office or on our Here app. Hills Bank. Connection is here. Member FDIC.
The Packers and Vikings. They go head-to-head in a critical early season showdown at Lambeau Field.
Sunday at 11 o'clock here on the Gym. 1600 AM. KGYM.
And at 6:28, we welcome you back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn with you on two of our three frequencies at the moment, 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. We've got 107.5 FM bringing you high school football as Cedar Rapids Jefferson is taking on Linmar at the moment at Kingston Stadium. That start time moved up tonight to 5 o'clock due to the inclement weather that was expected to hit the area this evening. Cedar Rapids Xavier also in action tonight. They are waiting to get underway in Davenport at Brady Street Stadium. The sophomore game going the Saints' way. They're currently up 34-0 at the half, according to Jeff Linder of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. See if we can get you a scoreboard update on the Linmar-Jefferson game before we get off the air. We've got the NFL Week 2 kicking off tonight. Thursday night football action featuring the Panthers of Carolina taking on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Jameis Winston. That's coming up on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM shortly. As a matter of fact, at the top of the hour. No Twins baseball for you tonight. They are about to get underway, 10 minutes away from first pitch at Target Field. The Twins wrapping up a series with the Washington Nationals. As promised, before we get to Nate Stanley, I should say a couple bits of baseball news. Shohei Ohtani season is over in Anaheim. The talented two-way player who did not pitch at all this year after recovering from Tommy John surgery out with a knee injury. His season is over. We knew Christian Yelich's season is over after his broken kneecap earlier this week. However, he's not going to need surgery on it. The Brewers reporting that he should be okay for spring training. That's certainly good news to hear. Iowa football gearing up for a trip to Ames this weekend. We heard in hour number two Michael Ojemudia's comments on Tuesday from the media availability. Here now, Iowa quarterback Nate Stanley.
What do you see from their defense? Obviously a good defense over there. What do you see from them so far this week?
Obviously a lot of experience. I think their front three guys have all started last year and have a lot of experience. And then their defense is kind of tailored to play in the Big 12, so they do a lot of different things as far as, to stop running quarterbacks, which we don't do a whole lot. So they can do some different things with specific guys to stop that run. They just do a lot of different things, in their secondary, as far as disguising coverages and stuff like that.
2 years ago when you played there, it was a wild, high scoring game, and last year low scoring. What was the difference between those two games?
I think the defenses on both sides just played extremely well. Offensively, we weren't able to really get much going, and our defense did a great job, the year before. They hit some big plays, we hit some big plays, and it's just kind of the nature of the game. You never really know what to expect, as far as game to game. So I think just the way that the defense has played, kind of made the difference between that.
How do you handle the hype? How do you guys, I mean, this is what everybody's talking about. Game day's coming. This is one of the biggest games between these two teams in years. How do you guys handle this week, not just preparing football-wise, but just the hype and the noise around it?
I think just acknowledging that it's there and then, you know, having a strategy to deal with it. You know, Coach Ferentz does a great job at, you know, kind of laying everything out on the table to begin with, but then giving us great strategies to be able to handle it.
Amir is really seems like he's matured as a football player. Do you see that, and do you have more confidence in him?
Yeah, you know, he's matured mentally and physically. You know, he's put on a lot of weight. He's done a great job in the weight room, and then too, mentally, you know, he understands coverages. You know, he understands how to get open. You know, so he's done a great job, and I definitely feel very confident with him.
You're off to a pretty prolific start to the season. I think 6 touchdowns, no picks. Is that just a reflection of improved comfortability within the offense?
I think that's part of it. You know, I think, too, just, you know, continue to make better decisions. You know, that comes with film study, preparation. You know, not trying to do too much, just trusting my teammates to do what they need to do. So I think it's a combination of a lot of different things, but being comfortable in the offense is definitely one of those.
I think it was at Media Day. You said that one of the things that you maybe wanted to do better was to maybe not just get out of a bad play, but get into a good one. Mm-hmm. Is that something you feel like you've been doing the first 2 weeks?
Yeah, you know, I think our game plan that we've had, you know, has really allowed for us to not have to change very many plays. So I definitely feel confident with where we're at as far as communication at the line of scrimmage and being able to get in and out of plays.
I think it's safe to say this Iowa State defense is going to be the best one you've faced so far. What are the challenges that they present?
They have a lot of experience. You know, their front three guys, you know, all played last year, started last year. You know, and then their defense, the structure of it is just a little bit different, you know, as far as playing in that Big 12. You know, they do a lot of different things to stop QB runs and stuff like that. So they have the ability to do things that we don't see on a regular basis, you know, whether that be rotation of coverages, disguising coverages, and then to getting extra people in the box, you know, to stop that run as well.
You're getting a lot of receivers involved so far. How wide open does the offense feel? How versatile does it feel for you behind center?
Yeah, I feel very confident with anybody that's out on the field. You know, again, it just depends on what the defense gives us, not trying to force anything, not trying to lock in on one guy. And, you know, that goes back to all the guys that have caught balls, you know, goes back down to their preparation in the offseason and then every single game week. They do a great job week in and week out getting ready to play. And you know, they've obviously shown that and made plays out on the field.
Who's more important for the Hawkeyes' chances on Saturday, Nate Stanley or A.J. Epinesa? 319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in on the Hertine and Stocker Jewelers text line. If it's a higher scoring game, I definitely know my answer. You just heard from him there. 6 touchdowns, no interceptions through 2 games so far this season. Looking like the veteran quarterback everybody expected him to be. This is obviously a different animal playing outside the friendly environment of Kinnick Stadium. But Nate Stanley's not going to go into Jack Trace Stadium all bug-eyed and scared. He's done that before a couple years ago. To me, I think he's even more important than A.J. Epinesa for Iowa on Saturday. Everybody knows Epinesa defensively, what he can do. I think if Iowa's going to win this game, it's on Nate Stanley, either to make plays or, more importantly, not to turn the ball over, to keep that 6 touchdown to 0 interception ratio in line. No turnovers, and I think Iowa's in a good position on Saturday.
Yeah, we've talked about Nate Stanley and what's the next step for him. What can he do to cement his legacy? And he needs to prove that he's not going to be rattled by a little adversity. He's not going to be making big-time mistakes in crucial situations, and he's going to be up for the challenge of playing against good teams, and here you go. This is the first test of the season for Nate Stanley. He's had 2 dress rehearsals. They've looked pretty good. He's passed both tests, and now he's facing a defense that is by far the best defense that they have played to this point in the season. The defense that really had Iowa's number a year ago, And a lot of it's going to be on him. I think Iowa State has really done a great job of taking away the run against whoever they play. Teams think that they can run on Iowa State, and they haven't been able to. You know, a lot of teams in the Big 12 think that they can run on Iowa State and haven't been able to. And will Nate Stanley, when Iowa State is able to get a couple of negative plays, when Iowa State gets in the backfield and creates a second or third and long situation, will he be able to get his team into a good play? Will he be able to avoid the big mistake in a hostile environment and lead this team to victory? I'm excited to see that chess match take place.
Couple people saying Epinesa is more important, 55-51. AJ, for sure, the Hawkeyes should be able to score 20 or more, but the D needs to keep Iowa State to less than 20.
Why are you not so sure about them?
I was just going to say, I don't know why Iowa fans are so sure that Iowa is going to be able to put up easily 20 or more points against Iowa State's defense. This Cyclone defense is a fairly good, stout unit. And remember, it took double overtime for you and I to finish with 29 points. All right, 0905 says, Epinesa and Iowa's defensive line have to speed up the game for Purdy. That will be the key. I suspect Iowa State will have Purdy get the ball out quick to offset the pressure. I think that, as you pointed out a couple weeks ago, Blake Gabbert of Miami put on to film a way to be successful against Iowa, and that's to get the ball and get rid of it. And I think Brock Purdy is going to try to do that on Saturday. I can't imagine that he's going to get too cute in the pocket. It's going to be hurry up, spread the ball around, maybe go north, south, east, west, try to tire that Iowa defense out. Basically, stick to the Big 12 game plan and make Iowa play Big 12 football, because if that happens, I think Iowa State's got a good chance of pulling off the upset, and I put upset in air quotes because I'm sure that will upset one or both sides of the rivalry here. Technically, the Cyclones, an underdog, both in the rankings and point spread-wise.
It was sort of a tale of 2 weeks for the way the Iowa defense started out. I thought Miami, like you said, did a good job of trying to get the ball out quickly and tire out that defensive line. And they had some success because of the confusion that they caused and the game plan that they had and just the things that they did that were so different from anything they had done last year. And for Rutgers, they let A.J. Epinesa wreck the game right away. They let that defensive line get to McClain Carter, and he was rattled from the jump, from the first play or maybe the second play of the game. And I know Iowa State is going to try to avoid that. They're going to try to get the ball out of Purdy's hands. Can they establish a running game at all? That's another big key for them, because we don't know what their running back rotation will look like. Are they going to play five guys? Are they going to split up the carries like they did 2 weeks ago against UNI? That's why we're doing absolutely our best to break down this game, but the unknowns are so tough to overcome, and I think that was designed by both coaches. They didn't want to show too much. They didn't want to tip their hand too much. Mission accomplished. And luckily for Matt Campbell, he had Brock Purdy to recover that fumble to bail his team out from a bad loss before this game in Ames.
319-366-1600 if you want to weigh in on the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line. Hertin and Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. A reminder that you can join one of us on Saturday between noon and 3 inside the Draft Day Lounge at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort. That is where you will find the physical brick-and-mortar location for the Elite Sportsbook. Not me. I'm in Ames at Jack Trice Stadium, but Alex will be there from noon until 3. I'm sure you'll have some KGYM gear to hand out.
I will.
And you will be joining a lot of Iowa fans, and Iowa State fans are welcome as well. You're looking for a place to watch the game, and you didn't want to travel to Ames, put down $200, $300 just for a ticket to get in. I completely understand that. This is a hot ticket, one of the most sought-after tickets in the state of Iowa in the last 5 years, according to that stat that we shared yesterday on the program. If you don't want to go to Ames, you don't want to shell out a ton of money, maybe you want to win some money, you can hang out with Alex at the Elite Sportsbook in Riverside, and that is noon to 3 on Saturday. The game kicks off at 3, and stick around. Make sure you catch those late games as well. Nothing like watching football in a busy sports book. 6:42, we'll take a quick timeout. We come back, the final timeout. We'll let you know what's in store for a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, featuring The Big Hour with Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com. Back with more after this.
2019 is going quickly. Make sure the outside of your home is well-dressed for the upcoming holiday season. A new front door from Therma-Tru makes a statement and creates a stunning entrance to your home. New siding from LP SmartSide immediately updates your curb appeal. And a new outdoor entertainment space with high-quality composite decking from TimberTech is a welcome addition. Alexander Lumber is your local resource for building materials. Visit Alexander Lumber, 4340 420th Street, or Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
This is the Gym's Alex Kuhn, and I'll be broadcasting live Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge. I'll be there helping you gear up for the Hawkeyes' first away game of the season. From noon until the kickoff at 3, hang out with me, do some indoor tailgating, and learn more about sports betting in Iowa. Then stick around and watch the game. Get ready to cheer on the Black and Gold Saturday at Elite Sportsbook at Riverside Casino and Golf Resort inside the Draft Day Lounge.
Let's consider the secret life of the innermost nesting doll. Living most of her life in the dark, inside the other nesting dolls, she has plenty of time to think, if she could. Sadly, she has no brain. However, when an innermost nesting doll hears that Geico not only saves people money, but also has been providing great service for over 75 years, she thinks it's obvious you should switch. Because yes, switching to Geico is a no-brainer. Pity the innermost nesting doll and her lot in life.
If you have frequent heartburn, take control of it with Prilosec OTC. Instead of stashing antacids everywhere, like in your junk drawer, buried under old batteries and hotel pens, or in your purse, hiding in the one pocket you won't check. You even have antacids on your nightstand, which are very hard to see in the dark. Ah, it's time you stopped stashing antacids and started taking Prilosec OTC. One pill a day, 24 hours, zero heartburn.
It's possible with Prilosec OTC. Use as directed for 14 days, not for immediate relief.
Baseball Tonight, the podcast.
We're speaking with ESPN Radio's Chris Singleton.
And then when you look at the records, it's unfortunate because at some point they're going to get the ball maybe a little more back to neutral, but then those records will have been broken and guys won't be able to have a chance. First of all, the ones who lost the records, but then the next guys following, those records are going to be like unreachable.
Baseball Tonight. Subscribe now on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
The backyard's looking great, Rob.
Thanks, man. I was planning on adding a deck, too. Know any good contractors?
Why don't you just ask HomeAdvisor?
Home what?
HomeAdvisor.com. You just tell them about your project, and they match you with local pros that can do the job.
Nice. How much does it cost?
Oh, HomeAdvisor's totally free to use. Plus, you can read customer reviews, check pricing, and book appointments for free.
What's the website again?
HomeAdvisor.com. Or just download the free HomeAdvisor app. HomeAdvisor.
The Los Angeles Dodgers and the New York Mets go head-to-head at Citi Field.
Coverage begins Sunday at 7 o'clock here on The Gym, 1600 AM, KGYM.
6:46, we welcome you back in as we count down the final minutes of the final hour of a Thursday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Thank you so much for making us a part of your Thursday evening. We do want to remind everybody that the forecast is sketchy this evening. That is part of the reason why they moved up the kickoff time for the Cedar Rapids Jefferson Linmar game at Kingston Stadium to 5 o'clock. Last I saw, Linmar was leading that game 7-6. So a low scoring defensive affair taking place here on the southwest side of town. Scott Unash is currently calling the action on 107.5 FM. You can hear him right now on our North Gym. Coming up on tomorrow's program, Rob Howe of HawkeyeNation.com will be with us inside the big hour, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Jack Dom will chat Major League Baseball with us in the 5 o'clock hour. We'll have Love It or Leave It and Odds and Ends, our weekly betting segment with Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. Lee had two major plays hit the big time last week, one of them in college football and one of them in the NFL. No secret here, the NFL game that he was highest on, Miami getting blown out by the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get his thoughts in hindsight on those games, as well as his prediction for Iowa and Iowa State. He'll offer up the game of the week. Always look forward to chatting with Lee Sterling at 4:30 on Friday.
He had a college game. Was it Michigan Army by chance?
No.
Okay.
It was another very lopsided game.
Okay.
One that wasn't even, it was like 55-7 or something like
that. Gotcha.
Excited. He's good at what he does.
He is.
And he offers you some insight absolutely free just for tuning in at 4:30 on Fridays. Week two of the NFL getting underway tonight on 1600 AM and 106.3 FM. It's Tampa Bay at Carolina. Come on, Christian McCaffrey. Find the end zone, baby. Score first and make daddy a big winner. That's what I'm looking forward to. Look, it's out there in the open now. They were talking on Golic and Wingo this morning with Brent Musburger, who is, in addition to being the play-by-play voice of an NFL franchise, he's the voice of VSiN, which is a gambling service in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he's got his guys in the desert.
And it's a beautiful thing. One of the things that came up with him today was, how do you handle the Miami Dolphins? And his point, Golic Jr. or Golic the Third, who knows? The point was, we've never seen an NFL team openly tanking the way that Miami is. And how do you even take the points? I think this weekend against the Patriots, it's up to 20 some points or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy in an NFL game.
And Musburger said, don't let that keep you from taking the points. That sometimes you just have to play the percentages, even though, look, if Baltimore did that to Miami, what do you think Bill Belichick can do? Especially in a divisional game, if Bill Belichick can reach in to an opponent's chest and pull out Randy Flores' still beating heart, he's going to do it, with or without Antonio Brown. But that's still a lot of points for an NFL game. That's all coming up on tomorrow's program. As we mentioned, Major League Baseball, the Twins and Nationals about to get underway at Target Field. The American League Central race, still somewhat interesting in the waning weeks of the season. No ground gained by anybody in the National League Central today because the Cardinals, Cubs, and Brewers all victorious.
So we're going to have a pretty packed show tomorrow, Todd, but we have a late addition to the show.
Late addition.
And it's a big one.
Okay.
We've talked all week about how College Game Day is going to be in Ames, correct?
Yep. We've got the guest picker.
We do not have the guest picker, but we
do
have...
We've got Corso.
We don't have Corso.
We've got Herb Street.
We don't have Herb Street. Maria Taylor will be joining the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn tomorrow.
Very nice. Very nice. We're also working on... Rob was pursuing one former Hawkeye player in particular for the big hour, and he said it's not going too well at the moment, so we'll see whether or not he goes to plan B. Maria Taylor, part of the game day crew, and we will have her on the program tomorrow. Very excited about that. College game day coming to Ames this weekend. Maybe you've heard. 319-366-1600, 3 o'clock in the morning, they're going to start letting Yahoos line up to get into the pit.
Into the pit.
And then at 5:30, they're going to open the gates, and people are going to pour in with their signs, and it's just going to be a sea of humanity, and I'm going to drive right into the middle of it. I'm just hoping that there's still a parking spot for me by the time I get to Ames. That's all coming up tomorrow. Tonight, we mentioned the NFL, a week two kicking off. Look, if it weren't for gambling, I don't know, between gambling and fantasy football, which is a type of gambling, I don't know outside of Tampa and Carolina whether there'd be any interest in this game tonight. But because of those two things, you're going to have people dialed in. Christian McCaffrey, big-time fantasy football standout. I'm sure there's somebody on the Buccaneers that contributes to fantasy football teams.
Not Jameis Winston.
Not Jameis Winston, though. Not Jameis Winston.
Mike Evans.
Yeah, well, who's going to get him the ball, though? So you got to root for Jameis Winston in that case, right? Again, the issue, the threat of severe weather could be on the horizon tonight for a lot of our listening area. We have somebody here in the building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. If that is the case, we will do our best to interrupt ESPN's national programming, or in this particular instance, Thursday Night Football, to keep you safe and keep you abreast of any storm-related news that you may need to know. The forecast earlier today calling for heavy rains, the possibility of hail, and even the possibility of some tornadic activity tonight in the state of Iowa. So be safe and keep an eye on the sky and keep an eye on the forecast. Make sure you've got a weather radio or a radio with you at all times. And be safe, because we would like you to join us here again tomorrow for what should be a very fun Friday edition of the show, brought to you by our friends at Two Rivers Bank and Trust in Iowa City and Coralville. One more day to prepare for Iowa and Iowa State. It all kicks off with local programming. Scott and Mark return tomorrow, the gym class featuring the Pick Six. Join us at 3:45, and you could win with Emil's Hideaway.
I'm pretty handy around the house, but now that I have kids, I don't want to spend my Saturday installing a toilet or fixing an air conditioner. But thankfully, there's HomeAdvisor. HomeAdvisor helps me find the best home pros in my area to handle any kind of project. You can read